United Nations is welcoming the 5 billionth person alive in the world.
The White House today denies reports the U.S. sent weapons-related equipment to Iran as late as last month. The recent scandal at the PTL ministry are taking a toll on the credibility.
Kim Baker resigned as head of the PTL club. What am I supposed to do? Well, the government seems to be cheating, selling us to the enemy. And those who're supposed to be preaching are no one.
I can't trust in a political world. It's 530 WSOM. Listen online at TracyandFriends.com or at 600WSOM.com. And now, here's Tracy Winbush.
Yeah, we're running late, ain't we?
No, we ain't running late. I'm just running slow.
Good afternoon. It's Tracy and friends. It's Monday, and this is WSOM 600 AM. I'm Styx here with Tracy, and Tracy's over there just kind of zoned out.
Hey, look.
They owe me a Coke.
They fixed the button.
They fixed your button, yeah.
They fixed the button. Hey, how you doing, Styx?
Oh, it did good. We're doing good.
We're doing
first
good.
Day of deer season.
First day of deer season?
Gun season, I should say.
So I wasn't crazy. I was trying to play some music, and it just wouldn't come up. It's Christmas time. It's the first, the second day of December, 2013.
Yep.
Can you believe that we are, like, at the end of the month, at the end, the beginning of the month, of the last month of the year?
Oh, where's the year went?
Man, it's gone so fast. And I was sitting here just zoned out, and you were sitting over there zoned out. I was trying to, I got a cold.
Can you believe this is my second anniversary here?
It ain't been no 2 years.
Yeah, it has.
No, it has.
I've been hanging out with you for 2 years now.
Boy, what have you learned?
How to cause hate and discontent in the Mahoning Valley.
No, no. We never hate.
Okay.
We never hate.
Agitate. How to agitate, agitate the Mahoning Valley.
We never agitate. We just tell the truth as we see it.
They can't handle the truth.
No, they can't handle the truth.
I mean, Stanley, I'm still blown away Stanley actually called in here to say we were right.
I'm so glad. Was good. That was good. Yeah. You know, but I was glad to hear from Stanley because, you know, we get a test caller.
Well, you know, people call in all the time and then they quit calling in and you kind of wonder and you hope nothing happened to them bad, you know. Because, they become friends in a way.
They become family. They really do. I don't think people realize just how much family they become. They really do. What? PBS.
We're looking at a dog on the witness stand.
Absolutely. I know a lot of them. How was your Thanksgiving?
Great.
What'd you do?
Went over to my sister's.
Okay.
Had lunch with mom and dad and my sister and her kids.
Okay.
And we came home and...
Now, do you deer? Today's the first day of...
No, I haven't hunted in years. I don't hunt anymore.
Why don't you hunt?
Too lazy.
What do you mean too lazy?
Just way easier to just call horse and say, give me a side of beef.
Then to go out and get, you know.
Go out there in the cold, wet, and snow.
So you don't hunt Bambi anymore?
No, not unless, I mean, I can hunt on with a landowner tag.
Yeah.
So if one would happen to be in the backyard, which my backyard's rather large, but anyways.
Yeah, do you think?
But anyways, if there would happen to be one, I mean, the gun's loaded by the back door in case there would happen to be a shot of opportunity. Let's put it that way. But I'm
so
not
you're waiting for the deer to come to your house.
That's
you
right.
Can shoot it.
That's
but
right.
You're not going to go out for
and
it.
I don't bait deer either. A lot of people bait deer. I don't bait deer.
Is that what deer pee?
No, they do that, but they also put feeders out all year.
And they so what about those of us that don't bait the deer, but the deer come knocking on the door?
I don't think you're allowed to discharge a firearm in the city limits, but if you're outside of the city limits, you can kill three does and a buck on a landowner permit. You don't need a hunting license or anything. You just need to fill out a landowner tag. Tag it, take it in.
Have you seen where Amazon's going to try to use drones to deliver packages?
Yeah, I saw that.
Did you see that?
That disturbs me.
Why does that disturb you?
Because people flying stuff over my house disturbs me.
Amazon is testing drones for delivery.
Pizza Hut's talking about doing it, too.
I don't know if I want... I mean, I love technology.
I can't see how they could deliver anything much bigger than a book.
Well, this isn't anything over 5 pounds. Anything under 5 pounds.
Under 5 pounds.
But if you think about it, a book does not weigh 5 pounds, most of them.
But it don't seem like it could be very bulky. It couldn't, I mean, there's
it'd
a lot of things
right
that
there.
5 pounds. The box is, you know, 12 by 12 or something.
Yeah, but how much will it cost me? How much less will it cost me to get a book delivered? Because I want to see a drone deliver a book.
Well, I thought we weren't going to have any paper books anymore now that we had Kindle anyways.
No, because some things you're just going to have to turn the pages on. I mean, some things are still not, they're not scanned in. They're not books yet. There are a lot of old novels that when you get them, I mean, you buy them used. There's no way. It's like computers were going to take away, like they said computers would do away with paper. And we kill more trees now than ever before.
I got a good story about that. One year, we went over to our mobilization site to do our training when they were running a big NATO exercise. And somebody high up decided we were going to do this whole exercise paperless. This was back in the mid-90s. We had all these computer systems. We were going to do this whole exercise paperless. Nobody was going to have any paper.
They lied.
A day and a half into this thing, me and my crew are reprinting every message and building binders because the system just broke down because people couldn't compare. You know, at the time we didn't have split screen technology, so you couldn't bounce one radio message, typewritten message off of another typewritten message on your computer. See, it was a huge fiasco.
We'll never get away with paper, and books will always be around. It just won't be in the same form. I mean, this weekend for myself for Christmas, I got myself a subscription to audiobooks.
Mm-hmm.
So while I'm driving, I can get my reading in because I'm running out of time, and with that comes a Wall Street Journal and a I want to say another subscription comes with it, and with that, it's like I still need the book in front of me because what I'm doing is I'm going back over Richmond. The book I'm reading is right now I'm listening to is Thinking We're Rich.
Oh, okay. Napoleon Hill.
From Napoleon Hill.
Yeah, that's excellent.
It's an excellent book, but you still have to I miss the book.
We used to do a lot of audio books when we travel with the kids. I'd go to the library and get a lot of audio books. And
turn your mic up a little bit.
I do a lot of audio books, and I still would rather read because if I see something three pages down the line, I can flip back.
Yeah, I mean,
and go back and forth. I mean, you know, you take a novel like Atlas Shrugged, where, well, the abridged version is 12 hours on tape. The full version, my sister got it out of the library one time. It's in a box. It's like 24 CDs or something.
Yeah,
it's insane.
I mean, so I don't think we'll ever get rid of paper, even with books, even with Kindles and all that, but they will be an add-on.
Mm-hmm.
But they do need to make them to where your Kindle can fit in your hand, and they have hand holders,
mm-hmm.
but you don't see a whole lot of them. You have to buy them separately, but you need something that you can hold your Kindle and your tablet with you where it won't fall.
Mm-hmm.
You need to put a handle on the back of that sucker somewhere. This morning you said you sent your Christmas gifts off to your kids.
Mm-hmm. They said they'll be there Friday.
When are they supposed to open them?
Christmas. We're going to try to set up Skype. We're going to try to open Christmas presents all together on Christmas Eve.
So you really think they're going to wait until then?
Yeah.
What kind of kids do you have?
My kids love Christmas. If we do the Skype thing, I guarantee you, if we can do the Skype thing, I guarantee you they won't open them because it will be that important to Amy.
You know, I could not be one of your children. Because I would open up the gift.
And then rewrap it.
And rewrap it?
I don't think they're going to do that. I don't think they can do that.
It can be done.
Not the way I package these.
Absolutely, it can be done. Because I'm not going to let that gift sit there for 3 weeks. I mean, there's only so much shaking you can do to the Christmas gift. Try to figure out what's inside of it.
They're going to... These particular gifts, two of the three, they'll pretty well know what they are just by the shape of the package.
Did the Browns lose?
I don't know.
Because, you know, Jeff's not here.
Is he on suicide watch again?
It could be. I don't know if they played this weekend, but Jeff's not here, and he didn't call.
Hey, did you see that? The Auburn-Alabama?
I heard it. Was it 1 point?
100.
They lost. I'm sorry. The Browns lost. The Browns lost.
Is that why there's not been a Jeff sighting today?
Oh, yes. Well, no, he's been MIA since they lost to us, so, you know.
Because, I mean, Ohio State really did it in with Michigan. I got to applaud Ohio State.
Really?
1 point. Good game.
You watch that game?
Did you watch the game?
Yeah, and I was so disappointed. I mean, I knew it was going to be close, but, I mean, come on. I mean, to be top 10, to be ranked number 3, and to let Michigan get it in like that, that was an act of God, that last play.
Diva, listen, you got to understand.
What?
You're missing it. It's not about how you play the game, as long as you win in the end.
No, it's not. It's about points, Tracy. We need all the points we can get.
We did good. They did good. They won. And we're
Tracy, you don't understand. They did not do as well as it needs to be because, one, the Big Ten is already hated on. You know, they're talking about how weak our conference is. And they're saying that we don't deserve to be going to national championship. So if Auburn wins the SEC championship and we don't do so great against Michigan State, I mean, it's a possibility that Auburn can jump us and go to national championship.
Listen,
we can't play like we did Saturday. In the end,
we will win.
How are we going to win if we get jumped by a one-loss team?
Listen, Auburn, we'll get by Auburn. We'll be all right. You know, I got confidence in Ohio State. And, you know, I love Michigan, but I did sell Wolf tickets. And as long as I won, I was happy.
Ooh.
What are you oohing about?
Oh, you shocked me. I didn't know you were a Wolverine fan.
Oh, absolutely. U of M, I love U of M. U of M wants to make me, when I go to their campus, it wants to make me smarter.
Oh, I look at you in a whole new light now.
When I go to U of M, there is something about their campus that really wants me to be better. Love U of M. Is it cold over there, Sticks?
I'm doing all right. It's a little chilly, but...
And yes, Dix, I did watch the Armor Alabama game.
What?
Yeah.
That was awesome.
It was 110 yard kick return.
Yeah.
That was crazy.
Ran a long way.
Let me ask you, Sticks, if you were the coach, would you have went for that field goal try, knowing that they've been missing all night?
I'm not a football fan. I just saw the highlights. I mean, when I see something like that, it's amazing.
Oh. Listen, you know,
Sticks is the kind of guy.
He watches people run around in circles.
No.
Well, you had to have watched it at that moment because Alabama thought they had it.
Were you screaming and hollering?
Oh, my gosh. I don't like either team, but I was rooting for Auburn because if Auburn beat Alabama, then we were going to move up in the ranks. But, man, yeah, I was screaming at home. I was running around the house like I lost my head, like a chicken with his head cut off. Because I couldn't believe it.
Did you see the YouTube uploads of people screaming and hollering about that run?
Yes. Yeah. I'm just glad no one had it of me.
Oh, so we should have had one on you, huh? Is that what you're saying?
Oh, my gosh. I was in the middle of doing my hair. Like, I was in the middle of rolling of my hair when I saw that. So I'm glad no one had any pictures or video of me.
Oh, we needed to have one. We needed to have one.
That was great. I think that was the best football weekend of college football I've seen in a long time. To see Texas A&M and Mizzou go at it, and Texas A&M come that close, and then Michigan and Ohio State. That was a close game, and then Auburn, and they all basically came down to the final second. I mean, Auburn and Alabama, dude stepped out of bounds. They thought he got out of bounds, but it turns out when he went out of bounds, there was 1 second left on the clock. So that gave Alabama a chance at doing something spectacular. One more chance, and they took it, and it was a gamble that didn't pay off. Sorry.
So the Browns, did the Browns lose to the Ravens?
Did they play Baltimore?
Who did Baltimore play?
Baltimore played Steelers Thanksgiving.
Okay, now who won?
the
Ravens won't beat Steelers?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Sorry. Just checking. So how was your Thanksgiving, Steve?
Oh, it was awesome. I ate too much. I ended up in a food coma.
And well, that was good. That was good.
And then I went back the next day for more.
That's how you do it. That's what Thanksgiving is all about. Did you go out for Black Friday? Because I want to come. I got to take a break. But when I come back, I got to talk about people fighting in the parking lot at Walmart.
No, I don't do Black Friday.
I can't believe people were fighting in the parking lot over parking spaces at Walmart and going to jail. That's some crazy stuff, if I'm not mistaken.
They're playing the Patriots. Browns are playing the Patriots this weekend. I'm trying to figure out who they played last weekend.
So listen, I'm going to take a break. I'll be right back. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. We'll be right back.
Everyone faces challenges in their lives. Handling it on our own sometimes is too overwhelming, but Turning Point Counseling can help. Turning Point offers the highest quality, individualized, confidential behavioral health care. Our professional and caring staff can help you or your loved one get started on the road to recovery today. Turning Point Counseling. Because behavioral health care is health care. Don't wait. Visit our website for more information or call today for care. Everybody faces challenges in their lives. Sometimes these challenges can be too much to handle on our own. That's where Turning Point Counseling can help for depression, anxiety, suicidal thoughts, drug and alcohol abuse and addiction, personality disorders, crisis intervention, and more. Turning Point also provides residential services in our Crisis Stabilization Unit for those who need inpatient care. Turning Point Counseling Services, helping you on the road to recovery.
Let's talk for a moment about a great doctor. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoney Valley. If you're looking for a doctor to help you with your prenatal needs or help with your decisions or questions about birth control, call 330-746-7007 and talk to Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoney Valley. And read the testimonials at aiwhealth.com.
I could not have had a better experience. Dr. Hill was always attentive to my needs and empathetic when the situation called for that type of sentiment. Dr. Hill's office environment and staff are pleasant and warm. Clearly, a good deal of care has gone into making the visiting experience a good one.
All patients receiving prenatal care get a free designer diaper bag. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoney Valley only has one goal, ensuring your health so you could fully enjoy all of the times of your life. 1350 Fifth Avenue in Youngstown. Call 330-746-7007 and visit aiwhealth.com.
Your car will look brand new after a professional cleaning at Kingley Hand Wash and Wax. All work is done by hand, which protects the paint, leaves no water spots. You won't believe how good it looks. Walk-ins are always welcome, or book an appointment for a full detailing. Thursday is Ladies' Day. Get an additional service free with any regular wash. Kingley offers pickup and drop-off service. They'll take you to work, an appointment, and pick you up when your car is ready. If it's not Kingley, it's not clean. Kingley Hand Wash and Wax.
Howdy, howdy. I'm so excited. Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce is at the grocery store. That's right. You can get Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce right at the store. That means you can put back the thick and muddy. If you can't taste the meat, what's the point? Pick up the smooth and delicate Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce. Next time you find yourself down at the market, remember, Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce, the full cup of love.
Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce is now available at the grocery stores. Ask your grocer for a cup of love.
If you can't taste the meat, then what's the point?
We're back with Tracy and Friends on News Talk 600 WSOM, 347-945-5229, or toll-free 1-800-530-WSOM, online at tracyandfriends.com, or 600WSOM.com. Now, here's Tracy.
Hey, you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600, and this is for Diva. You know nothing about this. Nothing about this, dear.
Not a clue.
That's bad, sick.
How come it's not bad every time I play a country song? You have no idea what I'm playing.
Because you guys make up a song for anything.
That's right. There is a country song. There is a country song for any topic we could cover.
I found that out. I mean, y'all just sit up and look at the clock and be like, There's a clock on the wall. I'm like, and they make a song for it. It's really real. You know that, right?
I'm going to pull it up. Before the end of the day, we're going to play the perfect country and western song.
What song is that?
We'll just play it.
Hey, yo, Doug. What?
See, that's
and you're going to be surprised.
Oh,
but
my.
By the end of the day.
And now y'all trying to rap in the country song.
That's called hick-hop.
Hick-hop?
Hick-hop.
You know what? You guys have issues. Hey, the number is 347-945-5229. It's open mic today. It's Monday. I'm a little slow today because I caught Sticks had a cold last week, and I think I caught it. Not intentionally, but I think it's your fault.
I blame me. We were sick all week. Both Paul and I were sick all week.
Yeah, you were sick last week, and then I was running around the house, and I was hot, and I was cold, and I was running, and I was working, and I let myself go down and not messing around with you. But I have good friends. They love me. So I won't talk about you real bad.
Good. Hey, Tracy.
Yeah?
Doesn't our military use bullets?
Yeah.
Then why would the EPA close the last lead smelter in the United States so we have to import all the lead we need for bullets? The only lead products that are going to be able to be manufactured in the United States, according to this article I'm looking at here, is going to be from recycled lead. No more lead from raw ore. It's all going to have to be imported.
I have a problem. Maybe it's just me, and maybe I'm just too old-fashioned or too slow or something. But what I don't understand is I don't think we should allow all of our military operations to be done offshore. Because what happens when your friends no longer are your friends and they become your enemy?
But this is being shut down because of an EPA regulation. They're not moving offshore for economic reasons. Well, yeah, they are. They've changed the air requirements. It says here 10 times tighter than they used to be, and they just simply cannot afford to operate.
But the question is, why is it that we? Seriously, you really want your enemies to make your bullets?
But do you want your enemies to make your steel?
Do you want your enemies to make your food?
I agree.
I'm just saying.
It would seem to me that there should be some industries that are exempted from some of these stringent EPA regulations, just for national security purposes.
There's some stuff going on.
I was talking to my brother-in-law this weekend. They're not going to expand the plant that he works in Worcester because they can't find no help.
Well, people,
They are going to build a new plant in Mexico and one in China. And the reason is they cannot find factory help.
I was having a conversation over the weekend, and what we're doing is if you look at what's going on with our communities and with our, we're not prepared. I mean, we're seriously not prepared for economic growth. There are jobs, but the people don't have the skill set for the jobs that are out there. And we have turned craftsmanship into a dirty word.
Right.
And since we've done that, I don't know what we're going to do.
3 million jobs go unfilled every year in this country, craft jobs. 3 million. I mean, that's a crime. It's uncalled for.
No, it's called for.
I was just talking to a guy this weekend. He's got water trucks for the drilling.
Uh-huh.
He wanted to hire some truck drivers. Out of 65 applicants, he had two guys who could pass a drug test.
Ooh.
And we've got Mary Meachie's husband, Jeff.
Right.
He runs a He's a plant manager here locally. I forget what plant it is around here somewhere. He can't find anybody that can pass a drug test.
Let me ask you, how are we going to change that? Because I've been talking to people about reentry and other things. We're not helping people have hope. We're not helping people to dream. I think I told you earlier, and I may have mentioned it on the air, that I'm reading, I'm going through Think and Grow Rich again.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And if you look at the contents of the book is all about thinking.
Right.
The book is all about dreaming.
Right.
But we've taken dreams and thought processes out of everyone. We've beaten them until there's no longer hope. And the reason why I say that is because right now I'm looking at December 1st. They're calling for another fast food strike. Seeking to increase pressure on Wendy's, McDonald's, and other fast food restaurants, organizers of the movement are demanding a 15-hour wage for fast food workers. They say they will sponsor a one-day strike in 100 cities on Thursday to protest activities in 100 additional cities.
Do these people understand that all that's going to do is get them fired?
It ain't going to get them fired.
What's going to happen is they're going to drive the cost of their labor up to more and more automation. From what I understand, there's already one local chain that's 100% automated.
Really? Which one?
I think it's a Wawa.
Wawa? Who's the Wawa?
It's over in Pennsylvania somewhere.
But it's
100% automated.
What is a Wawa?
That's why they were able to be 100% automated. Don't nobody know nothing about them. They're small. They're tiny.
Wawa!
But the thing is, Diva, if the technology's there...
So it's a...
It's like a Sheetz. Now you're starting to sound like
Charlie Brown's
teacher. Knock Wawa. Hey, guys.
You got a Wawa?
Wawa is huge down here in Florida. It is
what is a Wawa?
Huge. I'm telling you, do not knock Wawa.
How do you spell it?
W-A-W-A. It's just Wawa. I mean, I made fun of it when I first saw it, but that place is amazing. If you go in there, you can get whatever you want. There's just a computer screen. You don't even talk to someone for your order. It's a touch screen. You order what you want. It prints out a slip, and within a few numbers, any kind of food you want, soup, sandwiches, it's very automated. Now, there's some people that work in the back, but they've taken the human interaction out of it, and honestly, I like it because they've made the ordering process a lot easier.
They got a gas station too?
Yes, a gas station, and you go in a service station, and you can get all kinds of food. I mean, people eat there for lunch and dinner.
How do they know I'm not going to steal?
They just trust everybody, to pay for. You know, it prints out a slip, and you go up to the register, and you pay for it, and they just set the food out on the counter with the number on it, and you pick yours up. I mean, this is the thing, you know, and I've said it a couple of times on your show, is that it's just when it comes to America, it's not going to work if we don't trust each other. And that's when we lay down all these suspicions about each other and we just let people, be free and then just operate, then, good things happen. And I'm telling you, Wawa's it's an excellent enterprise.
Wawa, Wawa, Wawa.
I'm telling you, and you watch Dollar General and Family Dollar, they're going to run over top of Walmart within 15, 20 years. You watch.
Wow, 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 wow. I can't believe somebody named something. Wow, wow, wow.
All right, Charlie Brown.
I can't believe they named it that. Wah, wah, wah. And we go.
Hey, Tracy.
I guarantee
if you have a Wawa sub, you will never go back to Subway. I guarantee it. You want to eat.
Wah, wah, wah.
Unless you have nothing else to do, you'll never go back to Subway if you have one of their subs.
Is it that fresh? Is that good? Wah, wah,
yes.
Wah.
Everything's wah, 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 fresh. Freshly made. I mean, it's good. I mean, it's not the best. It's not the best quality, but it's better than Subway and better than most fast food that you're going to get.
I mean, when you look at automation, Amazon's talking about they're going to start trying to deliver packages by drones. You got Wawa?
And I bet you they're going to have a fully automated warehouse.
So my question is, if Wawa and everyone else is automating, because, I said this morning to myself. I said, well, if drones aren't going to start delivering packages, what's going to happen to the post office as well as Federal Express? And how many jobs will be lost? Because when I go out to Delphi and look at the automation that they have there, the people that usually deliver the parts for you to go and assemble the parts, it's now done by robotics. Who's going to work
teach your children to be self-sufficient entrepreneurs.
Entrepreneurs of what?
There will always need, as long as there are people, there will be other people that will need a service. Figure out what that service is and provide it.
Not if I can find a computer to do the service. I mean, the radio's changed. We don't have people here.
Drones don't fix themselves.
Drones don't break.
Yes, they do. They're mechanical. Anything mechanical breaks.
Absolutely not.
Somebody
in
has
all
to
honesty,
program
if you want
it,
your
somebody has to design it.
Right.
Alabama, your mic's on too.
In all honesty, if you've got a preteen child right now,
yeah,
send them to plumber school.
Because the toilet will never be automated.
You got it.
And guess what?
You look. I know a lot of plumbers that are millionaires.
I do too. Got a point there.
I mean, when you can charge $100 an hour, it don't take long to make.
And you will get it.
I'll bet you on Thanksgiving Day there was guys getting $250 an hour.
Yeah, because you know people have more people in their house than they've had in a while and start backing up. Yeah,
that's the number one plumber day of the year.
Is it really?
Day. Yeah. Well, people do stupid stuff like dump grease down the traps and.
Yeah.
All kinds of stupid stuff. Yeah, it's the number one plumber day of the year.
I'm very thankful. I didn't have any fiascos outside of the tea being really, really bad.
Yeah, but you borrowed a really nice house. I mean, you borrowed a really, really nice house.
Yeah, but I didn't tear up anything. And cleaning it up was a tour.
I'll bet. White carpet and all.
White carpet, that's what I'm saying. I made everybody take off their clothes when they walked in. I did.
You got those paper booties. Made everybody wear paper booties.
I didn't think about those. No, I made them take off their shoes and their clothes. I didn't want nothing dripping nowhere. Hey, the number is 347-945-5229. Absolutely. Everybody go naked because we're not dripping anything anywhere. What?
Hey, Tracy, I got some news for you.
What's that?
I met Alabama over the weekend. He came down
what?
To Florida. I met Alabama
no.
this weekend. Yeah.
No, you didn't.
yeah, he came down here to Orlando.
Yeah, I'm heading back now.
Alabama, you're not supposed to beat Alex. Well, come on now. Hey, Alex, was he a nice guy?
He's a very nice guy. Very nice guy. Yeah, we had a good time. Very good time down here.
How's everybody meeting everybody and I haven't met anybody?
Y'all up there in Ohio, it's too cold, man. Everybody's going to come up there.
Do some more traveling, Tracy.
They won't let me out. Y'all won't let me stop working. Long enough to go down south.
I'll tell you what, we'll take you to Darlington this year.
I'm not going to NASCAR.
So, South Carolina and I will treat you to Darlington.
Why can't I go to Mickey Mouse and go to Orlando with Alex?
South Carolina on here.
No, South's not on right now. So you guys have a good time.
I want to hear him about that game.
How did y'all hook up? How did y'all do that?
We just came down. We went to, what is it, Universal Studios. Hung out there. Then we went to Downtown Disney. Hung out there. Had a good little time.
Alex, when I come down to Florida, you don't even have time for me. I don't understand.
You can pick your friends, but you can't pick your relatives.
I go to Florida. He's down there. He's gone. He's got to go somewhere because he's going down somewhere to see a jazz show.
Yeah, well, when you came, I was in Jacksonville for a jazz festival.
His T-shirt in short weather out there. It was beautiful. Just wearing sandals. It was just 70 degrees. No clouds in the sky.
What were you doing down there, Alabama? Weren't you supposed to go to Alabama for Thanksgiving and not Florida?
Yesterday was my cumpleaños.
Your what?
Birthday.
Whose birthday?
Mine.
Happy birthday. How old are
you
now?
Y'all late. I'm an old man. That's all I'm going to say.
No, you ain't an old man. Because you ain't caught it with sticks yet. And then if you're not old until you catch it with Jeff. Has anybody seen Jeff? There's a Jeff shot.
Jeff's been talking trash because Alabama lost the other day. But see, the thing is, I ain't going to get into that with y'all. I know y'all Ohio State, you know, Buckeye
fanatic.
But, I mean, you know, it is what it is, because I never said Alabama was guaranteed to beat the Auburn, because I've seen when they play, I don't care how sorry Auburn is or Alabama is that year, they come, they going to lay their life on that field that day. They're going to play to the death. That's how they play. So you never know who's going to win. So I don't care how good a team is. So Alabama outplayed them when they had Cam, but Cam just was Cam, and they won, but they were, shoot, Alabama almost had them the year Cam was undefeated.
So did you enjoy the Ohio State game the other day, too?
Well, I didn't even watch that game. I mean, it didn't really concern me. I mean, I saw y'all little goal line stand against Michigan at the end to win it. You know, they had to do that with unranked Michigan. What do you – go figure. But you know. We ain't going to get into that. I know how y'all
hold
think.
On. Hold on. South Carolina, your mic is on. Did you meet up in Florida, too, with everybody else?
No. I wasn't down there. I could have gone down
just
there.
Just checking.
I was too busy doing my thing with Torsha Tox.
Okay.
But I did see Ohio State in Michigan. I saw the Iron Bowl.
Y'all almost got in there, Missouri. Almost Missouri. Johnny Manziel came at them for a minute.
Yep. I thought for sure they were going to put South Carolina in the SEC championship. But for the next 100 years, Auburn is going to be talking about the miracle at Auburn. I was watching it on TV, and I'm like, oh, no big deal. He's just going to run the ball back. And, you know, I thought he was going to go out of bounds. No big deal. All of a sudden, this fool goes down the sideline and goes to the end zone, and they're talking about score. The crowd was going crazy. At that point, I'm like, no, this just did not happen. Alabama.
You
want to
see some uncivilized people in that Alabama-Auburn game. I'm talking about doctors, lawyers, PhD. These people get drunk. I mean, it is major. Like, these people lose their minds over these games, man. I don't have a dog in the fight, really.
It's just like the game in South Carolina and Clemson. That was just crazy.
Ain't no rivalry craziness like Ohio State and Michigan.
Yeah, I know folks
in
territory.
I mean, Michigan and Ohio State.
Ohio State and Michigan
is pretty tough. But Auburn and Alabama, I don't know what in the world happened there. I didn't see the game, but I just saw the highlights, and it was like, wow. And I don't understand why they couldn't catch him. It was like he had he had breeze on him?
You had a little skinny, fast little guy running down the sideline and nothing but linemen. They ain't going to catch him.
Yeah, because all they had was special teams and offense on the field. They didn't really have anyone on the field to catch him.
Nobody can catch him.
I mean,
they
going to beat Missouri. And see, what people don't realize, when you announce you joining the SEC, your recruiting class is going to be, you're going to get, like, if you're from Texas A&M, is going to probably have a top recruiting class in the state now because they're in the SEC. So, joining the SEC with these super large states, like, you know, like say Ohio State came in, y'all would probably get a lot of recruits that siphon off the other schools. And that's just how it is, man. I mean, I'm not surprised Missouri is doing well because a lot of recruits would probably come to Alabama, Auburn. They're not coming down here no more. They're going to Missouri. They're going to Texas A&M. Texas is a super large state. You're talking about, what is it, 1,200 high schools or something? I mean, so – These kids are starting to look at Texas A&M and Missouri schools. That's why LSU is so good. They get the whole state. They don't have no competition. Nobody's even remotely competing with LSU. So you get the whole state, you know, whereas in Alabama, it's kind of split down the middle, but even still, I mean, Nick Saban's just been getting a lot of recruits. Florida's getting a lot of schools, getting the siphoning off from Florida, going to Florida State. Central Florida's been playing some ball lately. So then you got Miami, you know, you got – it's just a lot of competition in Florida, but Florida's that big.
Now,
what if it was just one major school in Florida?
Now, they tell me the Florida State and Ohio State are in position to play for the BCS National Championship. And then Auburn and Missouri?
We don't know. We don't know because they're saying that it might – if they may get them next week if they – beat them convincingly. So if they don't, if y'all don't destroy Michigan State,
Ohio State wins over Michigan State. I'm sorry, there is no way that Auburn
But let me ask you this though: you name me some top 25. They're not playing anybody. If you play somebody and you undefeated,
I don't care. We're still undefeated.
I went to Tuskegee, right? Tuskegee was undefeated. That's like saying Tuskegee is better than a lower mid-major college team. Like, it's almost like you got to play people. You know what? I'm going to tell you this. I hope Ohio State get in there because they're not on that level. You're struggling with Michigan and these teams. They got a bunch of couple of team games this year where they barely won.
Our Michigan rivalry is just like Auburn and Alabama.
Okay.
No matter how poorly Michigan does throughout the year.
Okay, Diva, forget the Michigan game. Forget the Michigan game. Y'all been struggling against other teams. It's not like we're just talking about one game. We're talking about the whole year. Y'all had about four games like that. Do you think you're just going to go and beat a Florida State or
a one-loss
SEC team? Okay.
They're right behind us in strength of schedule.
Okay, last time y'all talked that junk last time and got beat to sleep. We're going to see what's up this time.
But it don't matter. The fact is, national championship.
That's why Urban Meyer took the job because he knew.
Look,
we only got one tough game a year, and we're in a national title contention every year. You know that.
Well, not this year. Get over it.
Just like USC.
Hold on.
The loss,
727, your mic is on.
The same way.
Okay. Here's where I agree with you, Alabama. We don't play the same competition that you guys play. But we don't know, because of that, we really don't know how good Ohio State is. So to say they're going to get beat down, we really don't know. I would like to see them play Alabama or Auburn just to see how good Ohio State is.
It shows how these SEC schools are. Five of them make up the top 10. So we're not talking about a little weak conference. They're going to beat up on each other. You cannot play in the SEC. How hard it is to come through there undefeated? That rarely happens. So to say that, okay, Ohio State is better, you can look at these teams, they've ranked.
I didn't say that.
They're playing like 10 teams that's ranked number 50, number 65, and they're beating them. And then they're beating them by one touchdown or three or four. I'm just saying. I mean, it's not, and I'm not knocking
on
it.
I didn't say your conference wasn't that good. What I said was we don't know how good Ohio State is because they don't have on their schedule they don't have the same level of teams that they play. And
But the reason Florida State is number one because Florida State is destroying and demolishing anybody they touch. True enough. You can say, well, maybe Florida State shouldn't be number one, but we can't say that because Florida State is destroying people. Alabama was number one. They were destroying everybody. They had one or two nail biters, but it was just real good teams. And that's all I'm saying.
Who did it destroy? Hello?
I mean, their schedule is like us playing teams like FAMU all year. I mean, we destroyed FAMU. So... But you can't really get excited about that, I mean, because they weren't that great of a team to be against.
I have a question for you guys. I got a question about Ohio State and the BCS. Because they tell me BCS, it's a very political, scientific kind of method of how they actually rank their teams. It's not like, the Final Four in basketball. Am I correct about that?
Yeah.
Scientific but unscientific.
Okay. 787, your mic is on.
If that makes any sense at all.
Go.
Well, I wanted to comment on that a whole BCS thing. You know, it's mighty funny how they want to praise Alabama for winning the national championship 2 years in a row. But when you talk about Ohio State, 24-game win streak, everybody want to say that's in the past. It's obvious that the NCAA is in bed with the SEC. All they do is disrespect Ohio State, and they've been doing that. But normally when you put a whole lot of points that they say you're running with the score, but now you want to praise Florida State for putting 70 points on teams that Youngstown State would beat. Come on, man. Are you serious? Florida State, they jumped us when they was 14. We was undefeated, and they jumped us from 14 all the way to 2, and we went down and never lost and played without our quarterback and our starting running back. It's ridiculous. Man, come on. Respect the game. You cannot hate on the undefeated team 2 years in a row. They played Boise State when they played nobody. They loved them when they was going undefeated. Come on, man. You know what it is.
Well, Ohio State has to beat someone in the top five. Top five, or 10, and then we will know. But I would love to see a playoff, and I would love to see Ohio State play Auburn or Alabama, and then the truth can be told.
And this is what I want to see, the truth to be told. I dare one of them SEC teams to come together with us in November in Columbus. And then we're going to see. Because if you know in the pros, they always talk about the cold-weather football teams who survive in the playoffs. But then, yet and still, all these down-south teams that don't have to play in the elements like we do, they getting a different type of respect, man. Come on. Play us on a level playing field, and we'll see what happens. They just don't want to get us there because they know we'll win.
Hey, Tracy.
Yeah, I'm here. Yeah.
When I tuned in, I heard you guys talking about Wawa. It's funny we're talking about Wawa. I just left one this morning, and I bought an egg sandwich sub, and it tasted good.
So you went to a Wawa?
Yeah, outside of Philadelphia, between Philly and Atlanta City. I just left this morning. And I grabbed a coffee and a sub sandwich, and it was good. I'm impressed with Wawa. I'm a Sheetz man, but I think Wawa's got Sheetz beat.
My question is, who in the world names a company Wawa? I mean,
you don't forget that
they had to be watching Charlie Brown to name it Wawa.
Did that guy just say
he dares one of the top five SEC teams to fly all the way to Ohio and play you guys in Columbus, Ohio?
Yeah.
And that's an even playing field.
No, I agree. No, listen, I agree. But the BCS is really, like I said, it's kind of weird. Their ranking is very, very weird.
Ohio State played Florida. Well, what happened when they played Florida? What happened?
We played Miami twice.
Got destroyed.
Miami when they say they were the best team ever and we beat them. What about that? What about when we played them when they came and they was ranked, oh, they going to beat Ohio State and we beat them again? You see, that's what I'm saying. They pulled off the past when they want to talk about
what
we
did. USC came out there beginning of the season and beat y'all guys at your house, a couple of years ago. What was it? Who was that? It wasn't Matt Barkley. Was it the guy before him? Sanchez, I think it was, came out there and beat you guys at the beginning of the season. And I was pulling for Ohio State.
Yeah, but we beat USC. Ohio State has beat USC, too. Don't forget that.
The thing is, you can go in the past. Look, we want to go in the past. Alabama got 15 championships. Can't none of them match up. But I'm just saying, so we're not going to do that. But what I'm saying is,
none of this matters because Alabama won't be going to the championship title game.
Okay, just like last year, y'all didn't go. And that's cool. But guess what? I hope the game is logical. I hope you get in because your team is mediocre. I hope they get in there because I'm sick of this. Undefeated. Yeah, we beat a team by 3 points, but we still undefeated. Man, get up out of here.
Listen.
Y'all
going to
be destroying every team y'all play.
It's not undefeated anymore.
Whoa. Listen, guys. Hold on. I got a question for you guys. I'm not a college. I root for Ohio State. I'm in love with the University of Michigan. It is what it is. But my question to you guys is, how do you know who's the best? Don't you know when they get to the Gator Bowl and the Flag Bowl and the Armstrong, what they call it, the Rose Bowl?
No.
Doesn't that tell you who's the
best? Not really, because they slant
it. No.
You know once you get on the field and you play.
Until they go to a playoff system, you really won't know.
Look, last year Notre Dame was supposed to be none. They was undefeated. Notre Dame was this. They was playing games. They had, just like Ohio State, they had a couple of games where it was nailed by real close. They got out there. It was a big difference.
Alabama, you're just rooting for anybody in the South so they can all talk a lot.
I mean, I am. I ain't going to lie to you. I'm biased.
That is
y'all
part of it. Yeah, it is.
I mean, I'm going to tell it too.
I want them to come
Missouri.
Out the South.
If Missouri get in the game, I hope Missouri win. Because I know that the thing is, this is the thing. I think Urban Meyer, the way he did that Florida situation, I ain't like it. I felt like he left when it got hot. He caught out. Now he going up there to y'all because he looking like, okay, I ain't really got no challenge. It's just like USC and Oregon. They only got one or two tough games a year, and they in the national title game. It's unfair. All right, these dudes don't have no – they got one game a year where they really got to play a tough game.
Wait a minute.
The SEC has won how many national titles, and Alabama has won how many in the last couple of years? Are you talking unfair? You talking about unfair?
Six of them.
Now, y'all
thinking the SEC
deserves to be in the national game, not because all their teams are undefeated, but because they've won seven national titles. That would be unfair.
First of all, it ain't just that. It ain't just that, though. It's not just that. There's a reason. The way the ranking system is set up, there's a reason that A&M is ranked like 190 in defense. There's a reason why. It's not just there's a statistical way of getting this stuff together.
You guys still lost one, and you're not going to the national game, the championship.
Don't bother me. I'm not an Alabama fan. You got to keep saying that. Like, I'm telling you, you're always killing me. Like,
you're
put the bag in my heart.
I'm upset because the SEC is shut out this year. Just get over it. It's bound to happen.
Okay. I'll tell you what. This is the thing. If the SEC gets shut out, oh, boy, Florida State, but Winston is from Birmingham, Alabama, first off. I'm going to pull for him either. I'm still pulling for him. I always got a dog in the fight, either way it go, because that's the South when it comes to football. Y'all know that.
What do you mean that we know that?
Come on, man.
All right, look at the team Florida State has been playing.
Wait, first of all, James Winston was ranked number five, went into Clemson, and defeated, handily beat
Clemson.
That's what about him in the Heisman race.
To get to Winston, because in spite of what's going on, the dude is handling his business. I don't know any person who can handle that type of pressure and still do what he do. But, I mean, aren't they looking to charge him this week? Is he going to be able to play?
I mean, that'll change the whole situation. And, yeah, y'all might win a national title if we don't get in there. Yeah, you're right. You'll win one then. I mean, if he don't play.
Me personally, I
don't know. The question is, see, that's the sad part about Ohio State. That's how you want it. You want to get it without playing the best. You don't want to play the best. You just want to win.
I can play good football in the South in warm weather. So, I'm just saying.
Look, we don't care about the weather. It's you show up and you play.
All right, y'all get up
here. Don't get mad at us because it's warm down here.
Y'all get up here in the north. Y'all get into
a
state like
that up with God. I ain't got nothing to do with what the weather is like, okay?
Yeah, okay. Y'all boys will be shivering out of y'all little
And then somebody made the argument, well, Missouri and Texas A&M just got – like, these dudes got two good, strong recruiting classes because when people knew they were in the SEC, they started winning out all these recruiting bases. Texas is going down now because everybody's going to Texas A&M. So, I mean, I suspect Texas A&M in another year or two going to be right back in the fight. And if they show up that deep, I mean, look.
Okay, we'll see because
I know, you know what? You just made a beautiful point. You said Alabama lost, right? Okay. In the state of Alabama, we done won the last four championships just in my state alone. And we got a shot at winning five straight just within one state. I'm pulling for Auburn. Plus, I went to Tuskegee right up the street.
Yeah, and I was pulling for Auburn when
they
beat Alabama. So, I mean, that's great. Look, Alabama, that is great that you love the SEC and everything and that you will stand tough behind them. But none of that matters because the SEC got shut out this year. So,
you know what? No, this is the thing. This is the best situation for y'all. Jameis Winston gets charged. He's ineligible. And then somehow you guys still get to stay in the game, stay in the national title game, and you guys play a empty Florida State without a quarterback and win a national title. That's the only way you get one.
How Jameis Winston in Florida State would have been number one if he would have got charged a long time ago?
I don't know. Because I could say that same thing about Jadeveon Clowney right now, somebody charged Clowney. When you're talking about loyalty in these places, in these cities, where these folks got all this money and alumni, I don't know. I've seen people cut the fool for people at Auburn, and they was only winning 10 games a year at the time. They were losing 2 games a year. Still, folks was going crazy. Well, I mean, people will look out for these students at these universities because they want the teams to win. So, and they're loyal like that when it comes to they actually, I ain't going to say care, but when it comes to those students that play for those programs, you get a lot of perks for playing for these programs. That's just at schools like
every
a UAB.
Every college campus is the same way, too. If you're an athlete on campus on a major college or a mid-major, you got it made.
I'm like, because I'm sorry, I live not too far from Ohio State University, and this is Columbus. This is a big football town here.
I don't see how Terrell Pryor got suspended with that. That was messed up how they did that, boy. I felt
it
like
it was messed up.
If Johnny Manziel on tape talking about, yeah, man, last time I got paid this, that, and he get to play, talking about they need a paper, you don't need no paper trail. You got a smoking gun when he up there running his mouth.
Right.
He should have been ineligible. But I'm glad, as long as he didn't win and get the Heisman, I'm cool. You know what? I want Johnny Manziel to go in the top five in the draft. I want him to go to the Jacksonville Jaguars. I want to hear from him again. That's what I want him to do. Go somewhere like Jacksonville or, you know, somewhere where they, you know, what's the other team? The Jets, somewhere like that. They ain't got no offensive threat whatsoever. Because if he go late in the draft and go to a team, he go late in the draft and go to a team that got some weapons, then he, you know, he going to be another overrated, hyped-up quarterback again.
That's what he's going to be. He's going to die there, too.
But if he's going to late in the draft, you got to watch it now. The boy Doug got some talent. He messed around and go to Philadelphia or something. I don't know.
He ain't going to make it.
No.
Now that's
right,
he can
go late in the
job. Foles got that job, bro.
Man, Foles ain't got that job. Foles will hit a good spot of teams where he did the big teams and they're going to win. Then it's now he's going to start losing. He's going to play Detroit. He's going to lose. Watch.
Listen, Foles got that job, man. He winning. That's all that
certain
matters.
People,
job.
It didn't matter when Tebow was winning.
All over. He's not throwing no interceptions. They win it. And especially if they win a division.
Tebow didn't turn the ball over. That's not a good analogy. Tebow did not turn the ball over.
But they don't – he had, what, 12 touchdowns with no interceptions at one point. Come on, man. And they won, what, four out of five games?
All right. Okay.
I mean, I think that's his job. I'm saying Michael Vick is gone next year. You know that.
Right, I mean, it's his job. It's his job. But the problem is he's not a long-term solution for Philadelphia. He's just not.
I mean, you know, I still think they could use another receiver. You know, I don't think he's bad, really. You know, I don't like the Eagles.
I mean, yeah,
I don't think
he's long-term kind of small. He gets through this season, but Nick Foles has nutted up too many times out there in the game to be talking about he's going to be a long-term solution at quarterback for the Philadelphia Eagles.
Man,
I'll
tell you what,
there's something else that you have to remember. Once you give the NFL 1 year to take a look at you, they'll catch up to you. They catch on to you, just like that quarterback out of the 49ers.
To break.
They don't caught on to it.
Right.
They're not running that Chip Kelly, like his usual offense, man. They run the more of a traditional offense. They ain't running that little quick stuff that they ran the first couple weeks with Michael Vick. They let him sit back and throw the ball for real, man. He's not built for the offense Michael Vick is. I would say Michael Vick is big time overrated.
I like Michael Vick. Michael Vick's kind of fragile. I would say overrated. I think he's just fragile, man. He gets hurt. I mean, when he plays, he sparks off his night. He never gets hurt all the time.
He never lived up to the hype before the dogs, you know. Not to me. I'm sorry. You know, from what they said he was going to be, I mean, he never made it there.
He never really had a line. Look at Matt Ryan now. They tell me Matt Ryan was better than Michael Vick. He lost one of them receivers. Now look at Matt Ryan.
Yeah,
Matt Ryan
right.
Looking mediocre now. It's not about that. It's about being in the right setting, having the right weapons on offense, having the right strong offensive line. Rarely does that happen. I mean, that's the thing. Matt Ryan, you take Matt Ryan and put him in a situation, he'll lose just like anybody. He's not all – I like him from the jump. Because when it came time for a big game, he would crumble.
Right.
He's definitely not really a winner to me. You know, he got one playoff win, you know.
Look, man, I'd go play quarterback in Atlanta. You got Julio Jones, Roddy White, you got Gonzalez, come on, man, you had your boy running the ball. You're supposed to have been, man, y'all supposed to have been. No wonder you winning 14 games a year. People still wasn't talking about Atlanta. Y'all winning 14, 13 games a year. Nobody ever picks you to win. Why? Quarterback. When it comes time, when it's a tough game, he's not going to show up.
I don't know if it's all on Matt Ryan, though. I don't know if it's all
last year. Last year, you might have blamed the defense last year. Okay, but the couple of prior years, I'm down here in Atlanta, down in Alabama. All we got is in Alabama, NBA, NFL-wise, is the Falcons. So we watched the Falcons. The last 3 years, them first two, it was Matt Ryan. They call him Matty Ice because he came out, but he wasn't winning no playoff game. You win 13 games and go home first round every year.
I agree with you. I totally agree. I'm about winning. I'm about winning. If you win, you know, you can't deny it. That goes back to Ohio State, man. How can you deny that, man? Come on, bro. How can you deny that?
You're
winning. We have a
okay, I'm going to give you a good example. I'm going to give you a great example. Okay, look at Kansas City in the NFL. Kansas City had one of the weakest schedules. Hold on, the first 9 weeks of the league, Kansas City had one of the weakest schedules. Kansas City started playing some good teams. Now they even lost three in a row.
But wait a minute, though. Two of the three teams was weak in Denver. It ain't like they no scrubs. Come on, man, Kansas City. I think Kansas City is solid. I mean, I never thought they was the greatest on offense. But you look at the team last year, when they went 6, 7, or 8 people to the Pro Bowl last year. And you know what I mean?
But, dude, they had the weakest schedule in the NFL. That don't count for nothing. So having the weakest schedule in the NFL don't count for nothing.
It don't count for
that
nothing.
That does have to take
like
you have to
credit.
Listen,
but you have to give them credit from winning the games that they did win. You have to give them
credit.
Okay,
so you beat Jacksonville and Tampa and all them teams, and then people, oh, man, they undefeated. Come on, man.
But how many teams?
Y'all really wanted to talk about college basketball, college football today, didn't y'all? I guess y'all was sitting around Thanksgiving Day saying, I'll be glad to get back to
Jeff came on my page talking trash on my birthday post. Alabama lost. I feel sorry for you. I'm like, come on. Y'all lost to Jacksonville. Cleveland lost to Jacksonville.
Alabama. Jeff don't even know it's Monday. He ain't even here.
Yes, I'm sorry, man. Y'all be dogging.
He just texted 15 minutes ago saying he was going to be late.
Talk about I'm on my way.
I want to talk about this 60-year-old guy in Japan that just found out he was given to a poor family instead of his rich family. He was born into a rich family, and they sent him home from the hospital with a poor family.
So now he knows how to be rich and poor.
No, he don't know how to be. He only got $370,000 out of the hospital.
Well.
And
wow. It wasn't in America.
And the guy that got sent home with the rich parents got a private tutor, and he ultimately became the head of a real estate company.
Can you say trading places?
That was Eddie Murphy and
Dan
Aykroyd.
That's what it was.
One of my favorite Christmas movies.
That ain't no
but
Christmas
well, couldn't you
movie.
Make a case for reparations based off that?
Christmas movie.
That ain't got no Christmas movie.
Well,
that's
Alabama
a real strong case for reparations then.
reparations?
Yeah, because you're saying what you're looking at is one guy's given opportunities, the other guy isn't. And then later on, they all get over it and say, oh, well, at least now you're getting your money. You're good. No, I mean, you don't know what he really could have did because he's a different person. Just because that guy may have the disposition to be more ambitious. He just didn't have the opportunity. So he probably could have been a beast. You never know.
Well, that's what it says in the article. It's impossible to assess to really figure out what happened. I mean, he could have been a spoiled rich kid and turned into a drug addict and ended up on Skid Row anyway.
That's what I'm saying. It's all you just got to – I'm telling y'all, you can become what you want to become. You just got to go do it. Go get it.
Well, the poor guy probably – you can't say that for the poor guy. You just can't say that. The guy that got switched.
The guy that got switched would have ended up at a regular junior college and the other one would have been to a BCS college and played football and become a football star and got the Heisman Trophy.
Mm.
Hey, who's going to
certain guys
this year?
That's up in the air. I really don't know.
Because one of the kids, didn't he get accused of something that he may not be able to make it now to get the Heisman Trophy?
Yeah, he got accused of
Winston. I mean, he got it locked up, but he might get locked up, so.
Did he rape the girl?
I don't know. They ain't really putting that out.
What
it's
else
kind of funny
they
wait 12 months right till he get in the Heisman race. As soon as his name got in the Heisman race, bam, now they got a case.
Right.
It's kind of funny.
No,
that's
kind of
funny right there. You don't go no 12 months on no rape charge. You know how quick they'll lock you up on a rape charge? She went and screamed that 2 months after it happened. He's supposed to have been locked up.
They said
no,
she reported it, and they pushed it under the rug. You know, they gave her a lot of heat for it. I hope he didn't do it.
Probably,
it just came out. They swept it under the rug.
She went to the hospital, I think, that night or the next day, but she didn't identify him by name. She identified him through characteristics that did not match him. It wasn't until February that she identified him by name, February this year, that she identified him by name.
So she changed what she
looked at. I don't know what.
But hey, you know what, though? You know what? The legal system is crazy.
She looked at the program book?
I don't know.
She looked at the program book and said, this is it. He got to be the one?
I don't know.
That's right.
I mean, hold on. You also, the legal system is crazy. Look at this guy, George Zimmerman. He's back out there acting a fool. He had the police called on 3 or 4 times the last, 6 months? And this dude just walking around scot-free. Like, I'm shocked. So, I mean, you never know what can happen.
No,
this ain't just Rodney King. This dude, they said he got off because of his sister. They said he was a nice guy. They felt like he wouldn't have done it. One of the jurors said that when he went out. I'll never forget.
I told y'all.
Like, yeah,
he was crazy.
You know, George was this, George was that, and I don't think that he would just start with Trayvon. Now, this boy dead, and this dude is a lunatic. He had a record beforehand, Zimmerman.
Alabama, hold on. I told y'all Zimmerman was nuts. Everybody wanted to blame him being it was racist. He wasn't racist. He was crazy. Told y'all he was crazy. He was looking for somebody to fight no matter what. He didn't care what color they were.
I honestly believe that was a situation of two men with chips on their shoulders wanting to fight.
Okay, who flushed their toilet?
That's what that sounded like.
That's what I thought I heard, too.
Oh, my
that's
God.
That's what I thought I heard, too.
You know, so
I heard it, too.
You do not
well,
need
it's not
all
me
that.
Because I'm behind the wheel. Took the earpiece into the bathroom, huh?
They did something, and now they don't want to fess up to it because we heard it, like we wasn't gonna hear it. You know, you're supposed to mute that.
Hey, what about that lady being released? That shot up
Marissa
in the air. Shot up in the air.
Marissa Alexander was released on bail that Wednesday before Thanksgiving.
Down the court on the standing ground.
So is she free or what?
She's free on bail because she's in a new trial. Because the trial judge erred in his jury instructions. In the jury instructions, they made it seem like she had no recourse for self-defense. So they erred in jury instructions according to the high court. So she's getting a new trial, and then it took forever for them to let her out on bail because that Kennedy guy, they let him out immediately when they said he get a new trial. It took them a while to let Marissa Alexander
out. Diva, can you say Kennedy?
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Kennedy, that carries a lot of weight. I saw the Kennedy boy get away with rape. Remember him?
Teddy got away with murder.
Oh, y'all remember the Kennedy boy that got
him?
Yeah, Teddy got away. Yeah, Marianne Kopechne.
Kopechne,
Kennedy,
right?
They can do what they choose. I don't know why y'all playing. Y'all can't help, y'all can't go in there with a name like Smith and think y'all can get away with the same thing. It's not gonna happen. Well, it's the truth. I'm just stating the facts.
I heard a different story about the lady, though. You know, I heard that it wasn't just like her shooting up in the air. It was just her shooting at him and the kids or something. You know,
so
I mean,
the kids
I don't
were
know.
In. The kids were in the house. They were in the living room. She shot. He's saying that she pointed the gun at him and shot, but she shot the gun. She pointed at him, but she shot not in the air. She shot in the wall behind him.
Wow. Are you sure she is guilty?
I don't take beatings. Well, the last beating I got was from my mama.
Either.
That's why she didn't get beat
I'm
down because she was my mama.
Him.
The next one that beats me is gonna get all the whippings I've ever got.
I don't condone it. I definitely am not down with that. But you know, the story that I read, like it was, she was cheating on him and he wouldn't quit. He confronted her, you know, and then he got a little physical, which was wrong. And so she shot at him. You know, I ain't sure that she's just innocent, though. I'm sorry.
A woman cheating on a man condones, I mean, she's not, wait a minute. I'm sorry. Her cheating
And then turning into him putting his hands on her says that she's not innocent. I'm sorry. Did you hear him describe that beatdown? He broke through the window. I mean, he broke through the bathroom. He threw her in a tub. He punched her, and he said he was going to kill her if he could. But she got away from him. Oh, I'm sorry.
She was back in the house. Hold on. Where are you calling from? Hold on, Diva. Where are you calling from, caller?
I'm in Youngstown.
Okay, well, welcome to call. Thank you for calling in. You're new. Welcome to Tracy and
not,
Friend. You're not new?
I'm not.
But you're new calling in.
Well, actually, I'm not, you know. I'm just calling from a different line.
Okay. Well, we're glad to have you.
Good to be here.
You know, I know folks by their phone number. I don't know them by their name.
This is actually
Brother
Man.
Hey, Brother Man.
Oh, wait a minute. He switched his voice up.
Yeah, he did, didn't he? Brother Man, I didn't mute you. I didn't mute you unless you was the one that was flushing the toilet.
No, that was not.
Okay, somebody messed up. Who flushed the toilet?
I probably wasn't me.
We'll never hear the end of that. We'll never find out. Diva, some things will never be disclosed.
I got my idea of who it was.
I would own
it's probably
up if it was me. I'm crazy like that. I would own up if it was me. I ain't gonna lie. But it wasn't me.
Oh, what else is going on out there? I gotta talk about this. Can y'all really believe that they want everybody to go on strike again for McDonald's or fast food for $15? They're calling for another strike.
Yeah, I can believe it. Have you ever worked fast food?
Diva,
but you got to remember, you've got to create more wealth than you're being paid.
These are corporations who rake in billions in profit.
Diva,
their CEOs rake in millions, and yet they want their
Al Joyner owned 14 McDonald's in Birmingham. Some of those McDonald's only clear, after it's all said and done, $100,000 a year. That's all we're really talking about.
Okay.
Some of them, franchise owners don't make all that. See, they're only going after the little guy, Keith.
It's okay for these employees to be subsubsidized by tax dollars.
Hold on.
Diva,
let her get it out.
Diva, average fast food franchise in the United States turns a $70,000 a year profit to the franchise owner.
Mm.
That's it.
I believe
so
that when I don't see these franchise owners' kids going to private schools, their college funds are taken care of, they're driving Mercedes-Benz, and they're living in big houses. That's when I believe that. When they're living like everybody else.
Steven, so you mean to tell me just because I sacrifice and I budget my money enough so I can send my child to a private school that I deserve to be raped when it comes to paying my employees?
It ain't about
need to
sacrifice or budgeting.
It's all about redistribution of wealth.
I don't mind corporations or business people making money, but when you turn around and tell your same employees, well, I can't pay you enough, so you're going to have to go on government assistance, then, yeah, we have a problem. I have a problem with that. But yet
you
and then you want to make them work on holidays and make them work hours that they have to spend away from their kids, and then their families suffer so that your family can have it great, but yet you don't want to get them any benefits?
Do you know the years that I worked 7-12s? How many years that's the way every man works. You know, the saying in the steel mill was that blast furnace don't care what day of the week it is.
And how much did you get paid working in the steel mill? You got compensated working them 12-hour shifts. You weren't being paid. You weren't being paid less than a living wage.
Sweetheart, don't you realize?
Don't ever go in business, ever.
Don't you realize how it works. Don't you realize that McDonald's is an entry-level job? It's not a job that you're supposed to retire from?
No, everybody that works a job should get $40 an hour. I mean, that's how she thinks. I mean, it's just going.
Well,
everybody,
that's not how I
if
think.
You
I
only provide $5 of profit,
but
per
we have
hour,
a problem is
you want to siphon up all that to go to you.
3 million people being on food stamps, but yet we don't have a problem when them people are working hard but can't afford to pay most of their bills or feed their family, so they got to go on food stamps.
I don't think Diva.
That's
Diva.
Not,
the problem
not,
is, Diva,
not,
I don't think that type
problem.
Of person deserves to make $30-$40 an hour working at a fast food joint.
Nobody's saying $30 or $40 an hour. Everybody's mostly talking about a living wage. Okay, I should not work 40 hours a week, but I should not have to be
You're not supposed
down
to be able to sustain a family off of McDonald's, because probably if you're working at McDonald's, you probably made some bad choices.
Right.
Anyway, if you're in your mid-20s, 30s, you drop 5 kids. You dropped out of high school. Now I'm supposed to come leech off me. Go and
you
get a trade and work
I
and be able to sustain
what
your family off of a trade.
Well, then McDonald's don't need to hire people who have families, Ben, and let's see how long they last in business, because they won't.
You know
Diva,
what?
Diva.
I got a job. There's always somebody out there want to make money.
Alabama, wait a minute. Hold up. Somebody else got to say something. Go ahead, Six.
Diva, is a low-paying job better than no job at all?
I know. You tell me, because you want guys that are wanting complaining about
a low-paying
say,
job is
low
better than no pay.
That Obama
low-paying
has created throughout his tenure.
Diva.
Obama
Diva,
did what?
Diva, if you raise the minimum wage by $5 an hour, and I've got 100 employees, okay, at 40 hours a week, that's $200 an employee, that's $2,000 a week. Times 52 weeks is $100,000+. That's more than my profit margin. I'm out of business. Do you understand how the math works?
No.
Well, no, do you not understand that just how you're trying to live, the people you're trying to hire wants to live too? So is it fair to them that
But
they
that's
have
on them, Diva. It's not his job to take care of them and provide a family for them. It's not my job to take care of somebody else, Diva.
Oh, but the fact is they're providing you what they service. Without them, how would you make
Diva, Diva, here's the problem, Diva. Anybody, I can get anybody with a poster that want to make money to come work for me. If you don't have skills, you can't get a job. Guess what? McDonald's don't pay everybody $7 an hour. There are people that McDonald's pays six figures to.
Hello,
Tracy. Hold on.
You got to work on yourself.
Hold on. Whoa. Stanley, go ahead.
Hello, Tracy. Hey, Diva. Hey, everybody. I got to say, I have to agree with Diva for this one. We're going to talk about numbers and things like that. We have more inequality in our country compared to other countries, okay? If we're going to talk about all the stuff, a salary and this and that, look at the numbers. Look at the – and I remember, I think last year or whatever year, I don't remember when you did it, Tracy, you put a YouTube video and you put it in front of everybody to listen to, and that YouTube video explained everything I was trying to explain. And you even said you were right.
But
you
listen to what I'm saying. McDonald's is not a job where you raise a family. That's not what that job is.
Yeah, but McDonald's is a place where you're supposed to make billions of profits and have people working their butts off and not getting a raise also. And not getting
but
a salary.
Billions of dollars are not going to those franchise owners. Go ahead, Alex.
You know, I think this whole thing has been solved back. They did a study in 2006 when New York City or New York increased their minimum wage. And they increased it by 20 or 30%. And the result is that they actually, of people working minimum wage jobs, the only thing that happened is that there was 20% less minimum wage jobs. So the only thing that they did is effectively send out layoff notices to all these minimum wage workers when New York forced their minimum wage to go up to whatever it is now. But it was in 2006 they had this big increase, and this same thing has been shown in other states as well, is that when you increase that minimum wage, the only thing you do is the people who are working they get a pay bump, but they're going to be expected to work harder. And because there's going to be fewer jobs, and because they're going to be expected to do more, and so we're really not solving the problem by asking for more minimum wage, a higher minimum wage. It actually just makes the problem worse.
Hold on,
Stanley. Hold on, South Carolina. Go ahead. There was somebody in there. 438. That's you, Stanley, isn't it?
Yeah, that's me. I just want to ask a question, Alex. With the inflation and the power that we used to be able to spend money, and it's getting more and more expensive, things like that, don't you think that has to change also? If you're telling everybody has to see the same salary, I'm sorry, $100 American right now compared to the 1980s, not the same thing. You didn't have the same power thing and everything. $100 now, go to a grocery with $100 and go to a grocery at $100 with 1980. You didn't have the same power. So those things have to be a reflection of our society. Also, you can't say to the people, we're going to keep the minimum wage, but everything else is going to be more expensive.
Hold on, I'm asking Alex that question because,
thank you.
Yeah, what you're talking about, if yeah, I agree with you with the inflation, but let's solve inflation then. What your solution is that's like someone who has a hole in their fuel line, and instead of fixing their fuel line, they keep just running gas through. They keep going to the gas station and putting gas in the car and just letting it leak out. And that's essentially what the solution that, you know, you and Diva kind of propose. You know, if you want to tackle inflation, we would be in lockstep with that if we were actually going to do something about that, you know. But that comes down to our country's monetary policy. But nobody's really talking seriously about that, and they're just, you know, they're not really trying to solve the problem. They're just trying to deal with the symptoms of the problem.
Because let me throw this into the mix. Hold on, Diva. This is the issue. Right now, there are a lot of jobs that are unfulfilled out there because people don't have the skill set to do them. And people are not willing to put the time and effort into preparing for a better skill set, but they want to get paid for a minimal job. And they want to get paid more at $15 an hour. And all it's going to do is going to push the market measures even higher into a super inflation. And I don't think people really understand that.
I know two young men that went to 2 years at University of Northeast Ohio to become diesel mechanics. They're both making $100,000 a year.
Local Carl, your mic is on.
Hey, how you doing, Tracy?
Good, how you doing?
I'm doing all right. I've listened to your comment about raising the minimum wage.
Yeah.
This is what I think. I think that employers and people that own companies and things like that, I think they have already made their money. They're already ahead of the game because if you're listening, you're hearing that the rich are getting richer and the poor is getting poorer. What I mean by that is the product that they sell, whatever they're selling, they're already rich off of it. So they have to raise the minimum wage up in order for us to catch up with it. They have already made their money, and when they raise it up,
that's
they're
not
already
going
to be one step ahead of it.
Let me say this. This is something that we have to understand. Rich people, or business owners, are not always rich.
Right.
I mean, McDonald's, the corporate McDonald's, the franchise owners are not rich, a lot of them. They just go to work every day and they make a good living. But a lot of businesses, you think that they're wealthy and they're rich, and they're really, really not. They're trying to struggle just like you.
Hold on.
I would love to hear from a person who owns a McDonald's franchisee. I would love to hear from their own mouth that they're just barely making it, just like the workers that they're employing.
I didn't say just like the workers that they employ, but you have to understand, you have ebb and flow in businesses, and what's happening is if I go and I get a McDonald's franchise, say I may have two stores, I'm not rich just because I own it.
The economy sucks. McDonald's does well. Why?
Because
people
you have to understand the levels of franchise owner. You're looking at McDonald's corporate. I pay McDonald's to use their golden arches. So I have to pay them to use their fries. I have to pay them to use their Coke. I have to pay them for their recipe. I got to pay them for their cups. I pay them for all this stuff. But McDonald's, I pay. Tracy, who is a franchise owner, pays the employee, not McDonald's corporate.
Tracy,
I am a franchise owner.
Have you ever worked fast food?
I've been through one.
The one thing that I keep hearing is you guys say it's an entry-level job. What do you think a fast food worker does? You think that they're just sitting around twiddling their thumbs at this
no,
easy
Diva,
work?
No, Diva,
it's
Diva, Diva.
Hard.
Whoa, hold on, hold on, hold up.
It's not about the job.
Diva.
Yeah, entry level.
Sorry, they should be compensated for the hard work that they put in to provide you with the service that you want because you don't want to fix your own food.
Diva, name
a job where people don't work hard and they don't deserve their salary. Name one job. Name one job where people don't deserve their money.
I'm hearing you guys say they don't deserve a better salary. That's what I'm hearing on this radio show. That they don't deserve to be paid a living wage.
Diva, who do you think works harder? A laborer on a roofing crew or somebody at McDonald's?
I don't know how it feels to work as a laborer on the roofing crew, but I do know how it feels to work. I do know how it feels to work in a fast food restaurant, and it's not a walk in the park. I prefer my phlebotomist job over fast food, over working as a fast food.
Diva, I will tell you from experience, a laborer on a roofing crew works a whole lot harder than anybody inside that McDonald's building. And that's
have you worked
entry level
inside
a
McDonald's building? Have you worked inside of a McDonald's building?
My mother worked at McDonald's for 28 years.
And was your mother a roofer? Was your mother a roofer?
Let him finish. Diva, didn't I tell you we can't talk on top of each other? Let him finish.
His comparison is BS.
Diva, let him finish.
It is not. You're talking entry-level jobs. You are talking jobs because a job cannot pay more than the amount of profit that it creates. And the problem is, everybody's arguing about here has nothing to do with wages and everything to do with, as Alex said earlier, monetary policy. Every time the government prints $85 billion, it transfers buying power from the wage earners to the investor class. Because to an employer, he cannot control the cost of his commodities. He can't control the cost of his hamburger. He can't control the cost of his buns. He can't control the cost of his syrup. So the only thing he can control is what he pays his help. So every time the hamburger goes up a nickel, that's a nickel that can't be given in wages. Monetary policy is what is making the poor poorer and the rich richer. It has nothing to do with wages. It's monetary policy. It's the Federal Reserve, and it's what this president is pushing.
Hold on. There was somebody to call my name out. Who was? Yes.
I did. Okay. Hello. I heard this fantastic joke, but it says only a politician will convince you to cut a foot off the top of your blanket and sew it on the bottom of your blanket, and you'll have a longer blanket.
Yeah.
And that's what they do. I mean, when you stop and think about this, those costs have to be passed on. Those expenses have to be passed on. So what happens? They increase, they decrease the dollar menu, they increase prices, or they cut back on portion. It's a never-ending cycle. And I agree with Dick, and I would like him to explain a little bit. What would have happened had we been successful in getting off the Federal Reserve when Kennedy had planned to do that? Where would we be today if we did not have a Federal Reserve?
Oh, I think we would be back. We would be back in the financial situation we had prior to 1913.
Well, I don't know what that.
Well, okay. Well, what it means is we would be. They called it benign deflation. And as productivity increased, the price of goods and services came down while wages either maintained the same or went up. You've got to remember, a Model T Ford cost $400 the last year of production, or cost $400 less the last year of production than it did the first year of production, while wages to Ford workers increased.
Right.
That is what you end up with when you have a stable currency. But when you, if you look, Richard Nixon divorced the United States from any form of tying gold to the dollar
right.
in 1971.
That was it. He and Nixon. He and, what's his name? The Secretary of State.
Kissinger,
yeah.
And if you look, that's when manufacturing really started to go south in the United States. That's when the offshoring really started because they had an unlimited, they could create an unlimited amount of currency. Which it's just like cutting a pie up into pieces. Every time you cut the pie and make more pieces, the pieces are just smaller.
Exactly.
So that dollar that you were making, look, doesn't go as far because there's more dollars in circulation.
Mm-hmm. And then when was it that they called in all the precious metals.
FDR made it illegal to own gold. FDR did that. He did it by executive order.
Do you foresee anything like that happening again? I mean, it's possible.
Anything's possible.
If the government wanted to pay its debts, you know, it might call in the gold of the citizens.
We don't have enough gold. We don't have enough gold to even think of
since the 50s, there have been a handful of people asking for an audit of Fort Knox.
Yeah.
And it has been delayed or, you know, they've just not addressed it. And many people surmise that there's nothing there.
Well, the thing is, you know, people keep hollering about the rich. And you could take all of the wealth from the top 5% in this country, and it wouldn't run the government. It would run the government, I believe, for about 6 weeks. You could wipe out the total wealth of the top 5% in the country, and I think it'd run the government for 6 weeks. That's how out of kilter we are.
Well, you know, in our own homes, we don't mind paying money if we see that we have something of quality for it. And I think this is the frustration in the land, is that, you know, all this money is being spent, and there's nothing, you know, gained from it. You know, I look at all those grants that were handed out to, like, Solyndra and you know, other corporations, and right away they're bankrupt. All that happened was a handful of people got a really good paycheck out of the deal. And then there's nothing of substance to show for that money.
But, you know, when you say that and when you're talking about that, the market measures, we don't really, really understand how this actually works. And I think that's our fault. We don't understand that every time when McDonald's should not be a job where you go to retire.
Right.
No. Because you don't have big decision-making. I think that your salary should be commensurate with decision-making on your part, because you figure you will be responsible for the decisions you make.
I don't believe that's true either, because let me say it this way. I think that you should be paid what you're worth based upon the product in which you make. And I do believe that some companies are cheating people because they make a lot of money off of people, and they don't make sure those people are – because without you, I can't do my job. But if you don't understand franchising, the only people that make money in the franchise is the franchise holder.
Exactly.
And McDonald's is not the franchise holder. They're independent owner-operators that actually have to pay these people.
Right.
Tracy, can I ask a question?
And they're not allowed to buy anything
anywhere
else.
You can't go buy your buns on sale because they're down the street and you know somebody who makes a bun.
Exactly. In your contract, you,
right,
you know, commit yourself.
You commit to only using their buns. And
they can charge you anything they want, and you'll have to pay it.
So you can't go to Sam's Club and get your cola because it's cheaper. You have to go through the franchise holder to get your cola. Everything has to go through, even your cups. You can't go buy cheaper cups. It has to be in the McDonald's cup.
Exactly. And you have the liability insurance for people who don't realize that their food may be hot. I mean, you know, I think you have to have a special constitution to go into any kind of business.
Well, there's a difference between business and franchising. Franchise business and business is two different types of businesses. I mean, you don't realize when we talked about Wawa. Wawa is probably a franchise holder.
Yeah, probably.
You know, their franchise fees and everything they've taken the risk and you buy into it,
mm-hmm.
which is totally different than me going out and starting up a mom and pop with my own name on it.
Right.
And that makes a difference. And so, yeah, McDonald's as a company who is a shareholder, they may be making billions of dollars, but that doesn't mean the franchise holder who actually owns McDonald's is making all that money, because they got to pay a franchise fee back to McDonald's every year, and if they don't, they will not have McDonald's on their sign. Go ahead, Alex.
Now, I was just going to say real quick that I know a few people that actually own McDonald's, and it's not something that people go into business for that I've seen to actually make money, but the reason why they go into it, and it's something that poor people need to learn about, just about money in general. They go into it to save their money, and there's a difference, because basically what rich people do, they put their money into things that's going to continue to hold its value, and so that they can continue to make money. And it, on average, a single McDonald's franchise costs anywhere between $1 and $1.5 million. And so a lot of times, actually, every of all the McDonald's owners that I know, you know, like that are actually new, you might have 2, 3, maybe even 5 people get together for a loan, you know, for a $1 million loan at the bank or a $1.5 million loan just to get the build, just to get the franchise started, you know, and so it's just something where you get that residual income coming in, but it's not. Poor people think of it differently than how wealthy people are looking at it. They have this money and they're trying to hold on to it. And people think that they're just, you know, like you said, like they're a McDonald's corporation making billions of dollars, and they're not. They're just trying not to lose the money that they have. And so
pretty much
into a franchise is a good place to keep it where they're not going to lose their money.
Right, because it'll index also, with
just
inflation.
Just
their income, their monthly income will index with inflation.
People just want to be able to make it, take care of their families. Whether you think that that's a job that you would take care of a family off, right or wrong, whatever, it doesn't matter. The person has a job, and all they want to do is be able to live and take care of their families, and that's all they're asking for. And I'm sorry, you cannot do that in this economy on $7.25, $8 an hour. Should they get $15 an hour? No. But
Diva, let me
but
say
the
this.
The problem that we have here, Diva, is you keep on looking at McDonald's and these entry-level jobs as a way of maintaining a family. And it's because of society
right.
at large. Hold on. It's because of society at large who has indoctrinated us to think that you can actually go out, and because you work, you should be able to take care of your have a living wage at whatever
right.
job you do.
The only job that this person can find with their family and maybe their family dynamic or situation that they shouldn't be able to make a living wage because what you've
no,
done, you
that's
made
not
a
McDonald's
no.
responsibility.
No.
McDonald's, you
no.
Make
that's
a living
not
wage.
McDonald's right. responsibility to make sure your family is
there. It is the employer's responsibility
no, it's not
to their
responsibility.
Help
no,
them
it's
get
not.
To where they are.
It is not their responsibility. They're in business to make money. Not to make sure your family gets fed. No
and
business
you
want
to be working to make
to
money.
Make, right. That's your responsibility to make sure your family gets fed. I'm offering you
has
a
anyone
job.
Ever stopped, has anyone ever stopped to ask these people that are working, making all this money, why are you 32 years old working at McDonald's making $7 an hour for 40 hours a week? What did you do? And when you signed up for this job knowing full well that it only pays $7, knowing their productivity hasn't increased, knowing that the owner is not making any more profit, why are you entitled to more money because you've been here for 6 months? Why do you need a raise? See, that's the mentality of a lot of people. And that's why the country's going to be destroyed because people think they're entitled to other people's money too much.
Right.
That guy took a risk. He invested. He saved. Yeah.
Here's the dirty little secret about minimum wage that nobody wants to
talk
about.
And I'm trying to get
what's
out there.
Hold on, Davis. Hold on.
The demographic that makes out best on minimum wage are white suburban teenagers. The average household income with a minimum wage worker living in that household is $55,000 a year. And the majority of minimum wage earners are white suburban teenagers.
Well, I was going to say that you know, those jobs were designed to be for youth, and you think that was real good money for a young man. And I don't think it ever was designed to be a substantial earnings, you know, to provide for a family. You figure there are housewives now who are trying to supplement their husbands' incomes by cleaning house for other people. They charge $10 an hour. There are people who they pick up any landscaping on the side. There are a lot of ways to supplement, a job to be able to provide for a family. You figure this is honest work. But when you keep saying, my wage, so that, you know, I can be comfortable and not grow or expand or, you know, put forth effort, that's something that will ruin this country.
Well, it already has.
Well, that's it. You're supposed to be inspired to, you know, you either become creative or you just work two jobs. Think of the fathers, you know, growing up who did work two jobs. I knew a lot of guys that worked two jobs because they wanted their wife to be able to stay home with the children. And I'm just, I'm fed up today when I keep hearing people talk about.
You don't have men to work two jobs today. Men don't work two jobs. Men don't take care of their families like they used to. Because they ask a woman when she comes in the door, where do you work?
That's it.
And if you're not working, then you can't come and be with me.
And I think.
But then the problem also you have to add is that these people feel like there's some moral high ground that liberals claim the moral high ground, and they feel like you are entitled to take care of somebody else. They believe that, so, and they're going to force other people to take care of other people. They're going to force you to do it instead of doing it from your heart. I'm not saying that people should, be greedy, but at the same time, you're not entitled to, look, we just said up and gave you the statistics, Stephen, and you know that the average franchise owner only makes $70,000 to $100,000 a year, but you're still pushing.
I
worked at Arby's and I worked at Crystal's. I worked in fast food just like you did, Diva.
Let him finish.
Diva, let me finish. Let me finish.
I know the type of money.
The problem is, can you mute on mic, please?
Yeah.
Thank you. The thing is this. I worked. There was a time in my life where I made, back then at minimum wage was $4.25. I got a raise of $4.50 or whatever. Now I don't make that. I make way more than that. Why? Because I went to school. I bettered myself. She's not screaming better yourself. She's not screaming. And we give her the numbers and saying, well, these people can't afford to make these payments. They don't care. Liberals do not care. This country will be destroyed as long as they get their check in the mail or they get their check, their just desserts. They don't care if they destroy the country. They don't care if they destroy the businesses, because it's really the little guy. Because if I'm worth billions of dollars, every time you scream that, I'm not paying you anyway because I got my money placed over in the Cayman Islands or Swiss bank account. So you're not going
to
affect me. She's only affecting the guys that own these small businesses.
Because this is what I'm finding out. The problem that we have is a lot of these people who have gone through 12 years of school, we have not prepared them for or educated them to go out and do anything else. And so because they go through this liberal school, they walk out of school not prepared to work anywhere but at McDonald's anyhow.
Well, they were deceived into thinking that they would come out of college career ready or job ready.
And they're not.
No, they're not.
And that's a problem in itself, because if you can't come out of school prepared to go to work, then, yeah, you're going to be trying to make a living wage off of minimum wage jobs, which cannot be done.
Tracy, it's not only that. How many people are coming out with their diploma, bachelor degree, or whatever degrees they have, and the person responsible for hiring people have so much demand, so much people, that he has the choice. He's going to go with the salary that is the less. If you have a master's degree or whatever degree, and he gets another person who has a bachelor's degree, could do the same work as you, but he could be cheaper, he'll go to the cheapest one. That's business.
But Stanley, how do you answer the fact that 3 million skilled labor jobs go unfilled in the United States? Is it possible that people are educating themselves in the wrong areas?
Well, what we've done is
we're focused more on intellectual
diploma than being manual, like you're saying. We're focused more. We decide in our society that it's better that if you have a diploma in intellectual, lawyers, doctors, all those positions. But we can't all be
and it's a dirty word. Hard work is a dirty word.
Okay.
Exactly.
So if we need plumbers and we're graduating social workers, why shouldn't the social workers be out of work and the plumbers be working?
I taught at YSU and I taught in the sociology social work department. And I remember when the students would have term papers or essays. And I would try to correct some spelling and some grammar. And the head of the department said, you know, really don't attend to that because that's English. And you want to focus on sociology and social work issues. And I thought it was, it was really an eye-opener. And it was shocking to me to see how many students who were making A's in their classes couldn't write, couldn't spell. And, you know, we've become so accustomed now to using devices, you know, spell check and, you know, texting. We don't even care, you know, what what anything spells like because we're going to abbreviate it. But I think that what's happened is we encouraged everybody to get a college degree because it was thought that that would make you educated and thoughtful and help you in decision-making and all. And that's how it used to be when you got a college education. But now it just shows that you had a perseverance and you, you know, you stuck with the program. And I hate to say it, but the quality of education is not there. And I think employers are concerned because they see somebody who may have a good grade record, but they don't know what kind of skill they possess. They don't know if they have people skills. They don't know if their verbal skills would be, you know, appropriate for a business. And I think the answer is for employers to develop their own in-house programs and train and teach so that they can see, you know, the quality of work and promote those employees that truly, you know, want to grow.
But see, Diane, that's the problem. Me as an employer, I don't have the money to pay for the learning curve.
Well, see,
you're supposed to walk in the door prepared.
Well, see, I feel the government grants that, you know, they've wasted on so many, you know, bogus programs. It would have been much better for the government to have given grants to employers to bring people in at a training, you know, level and pay them, you know, a decent wage. But then,
I agree with that at all.
It's almost like instead of all this, you know, we're going forward, it might not be bad for us to go back and pick up some of the programs from the past that worked.
But that's just it. They're not looking for better, and that's just my opinion. I don't believe they're looking for better. They're looking for what they have.
Well, that's true, because a lot of the products that are inferior are just cast off and, you know, scrapped. That commitment to quality. Look how many recalls on items. You know, we never had that, you know, when I was growing up.
Well, you had it. They just didn't have it in mass production. Nothing's changed. We had it.
Well, hey, look at the appliances that lasted for
years. But you remember, they don't want them to last because they want you to spend. Go ahead, Alex.
I was just going to say that there seems to be the valuable thing that's been lost in our education is people don't know or have a sense of value anymore. I don't know if it's because we're printing so much money or whatever it is, or it's just like now we have all these college degrees out here, and they think that the college degree gives them value. If only everyone went to college, and it's like it's so, I hate to say it, but it's really stupid. It's a really dumb idea because people who say that really have no understanding of what gives something value. I mean, if that was the case, then the American dollar would be of the highest value in the world. But it's not because we keep printing more of it. And so what people have to realize is that, you know, if you want to make more money, it all comes down to your value. And it's like you have to it's not so much about, you know, the responsibility or decisions that you make or even how hard you work. It is all about what you're worth to that employer. How hard is it for them to replace you? And so, yeah, if you work at, fast food restaurant and it's easy to put anybody in your place, then you don't have high value. And so you're not going to be paid. There's no reason for you to be paid more than your value. You know, and it's an unfortunate, I don't know. I mean, it's one of those things that people didn't used to have a problem with that reality. But for some reason, I don't know if it's with the state of education in this country at where it's gone. People have a problem accepting, swallowing that reality of value, that everything has value.
Alex?
And what, yes.
Alex, I believe that problem is home. That was something that you learned at home.
and we've lost that.
You've got a point there. If you think about automation and the robots, you know, that are being developed, in not too distant future, it will be that you will drive through a restaurant, McDonald's restaurant, you will push buttons, and there will be a robot in the back that will pull everything together, and there will probably be one or two people. And it might be that, you know, they have some kind of change machine that you put your money in, and they have very few actual people working. You can see that coming. I just saw a program on PBS. It was fascinating, but they're going to develop robotic armies.
Oh, I believe
that. And, I mean, they showed the prototypes, and it was unbelievable. They have some that they say they will heal and repair damage to their own system if they're, you know...
A robot.
I don't understand all of it, but it was... It was a little bit freaky because I thought, you know, they can replace people with almost, you know,
but, I mean, they just
any kind of technology.
But they just got done saying earlier today that where Amazon's going to try to start sending having packages delivered by drone.
Pizza Hut's talking about doing it too.
I mean, so this is not uncommon. And I said earlier, I said, you know, if you really look at Delphi, how they have automated the people that used to deliver parts, they no longer have have robots that deliver parts to them. I mean, it's coming.
I think where the disconnect on this has come, it has come a large part from our industrialization of factories. Because where, say, a bricklayer in the bricklayer's union makes $75 an hour, a bricklayer in a steel mill was making $20, and he was getting paid less, and he was trading off the fact that he had a job every day. And they were taking some of that value that the bricklayer had and giving it to the guy pushing a broom that was maybe worth $2 an hour so they could give him $10
right.
an hour.
That's
but
right.
The difference is one had benefits and one didn't.
Mm-hmm.
That made a difference.
Everybody in the shop had the same benefits.
The bricklayer had benefits?
But you know what happened,
yeah.
too? They had to pay them a good wage because they were going to take union dues. So it was self-serving. That I pay you a good wage because I'm going to take union dues from you. So you have to figure that in.
But union dues wasn't as much as they were making. I mean, if you really look at what they were making.
But I mean, that still was a little bit of a contrivance.
1 or 2%.
You know, that they had to keep the people satisfied, you know, with their wages because they were paying a considerable amount in union dues.
Hey, listen, I'm going to take a break. The phone lines are open. The number is 347-945.
There's somebody yawning.
Stanley, are you there?
Hi, this is Dee, and I'm here.
I wanted to say, Stanley, where have you been?
Oh, I had some stuff, personal issue I had to resolve and things like that.
Oh,
I kept on listening. I appreciate the call of everybody, you know, saying, yes, I didn't forget about you guys and everything. I was just like, I just want to say to the people that said that I'm the first one I'll say it in front of all those people. You were right about the Obamacare. I was wrong. I have no problem saying that you were right. The people,
well, you know,
people
I was so
I know.
Proud of that you acknowledged that because I think it takes a special person to be able to say that they thought, you know, more deeply about an issue and they, you know, they had a change of heart. So I give you credit for that. There are some people who they just like lock on to something like a laser and they will not, you know, they won't consider other issues. And
I'm just disappointed with that point with the Obama. I thought really that we're going to – I knew we had a problem with the health care and really insurance and everything. I don't have them in their heart. But I truly believe that Obama was going to do something about that. But with the
–
I'm in IT. So with the website and this and that, and I'm like, come on, people, come on.
Hey, Stanley, can I ask you something? This is Alex. Okay. I'm more of a libertarian of sorts, and so I have more of a fundamental issue with Obamacare.
you know, even if the rollout was perfect, I would have had an issue with it. And the reason being is that constitutionally, the government has no right to force people to buy any product. And so, the thing, I guess my question for you is this. Does that mean anything to you in terms of the Constitution, in terms of people's freedom to just to live their life the way that they want to live it? But at the same time, when giving people liberty, when you give people their own liberty, it doesn't mean that they have the right to only make decisions that you agree with. If people have real liberty, they also have the right to make bad decisions too. And so, does that mean anything to you, or do you think that we need to throw away the Constitution utilitarian form of government?
No. I don't think the Constitution is. But the question that you're asking me, it would be like basically you're saying that if somebody is not covering everything and they didn't take the responsibility to do it, should we as a society say, "Too bad you didn't do it"? And because we live in a society that has freedom, you should own up to what you do. And that's the question. And some people say no, because that person still needs to have the right to have health care and everything. I'm not with the thing of having health care becoming a profit. I don't believe in that health care should become a profit for people. That basically some people receive this and that operation because they have the money. And some people don't.
So, Stanley, you believe in single payer then? Is that the system you want to see happen?
Yeah, I wanted to have a more universal system that everybody would pay a little bit more taxes, and then we would.
So you do realize that all of this muckety muck, is going to eventually lead to that, because it's like, this is how I look at it. We gave them what they wanted. The people cried, "Let us eat cake." We gave them cake. They didn't like it, so then we're showing them how horrible a system like this could be. And then we'll show them on the flip side of, this is what we really intended to do. And I've said that from the very beginning. All of this hoopla, all this muckety-muck, everybody complaining on both sides of the aisle, all it's going to do is usher in single-payer universal health care.
Yeah. And I'm sorry to say, Alex, this is truly what I believe, because many countries have it, and they don't have that profit. I'm sorry. I would love to have a doctor I could call any time in the night and come over and help me out. I would love that doctors basically don't say, "Oh, sorry." I'm sorry. I was shocked, and I'm sure you saw that movie. When Denzel Washington did that movie about that guy who worked his butt off.
John Key.
He couldn't save his king.
Yeah, John Key.
You cannot stand like that, Alex, and just say it's okay. Cannot say it.
Really, they're going to start calling you emotional.
No, here's the thing, though. Here's the thing. All right. You can have that system without doing what without having this kind of government overbearing laws of the government. See, the thing about it is this. The United States is suffering from a very from a fundamental and structural problem. This country is fundamentally broken. Why do you think that we spend the most money of any country on education, yet we're rated like 25th or 26th in the world? You see what I'm saying? And throwing more money at education isn't going to solve the problem. The same way that healthcare isn't going to solve the problem. Forcing everyone to pay is not going to solve the problem. It's going to make it worse. It's like a drug addict, or like how people who win the lottery, when they have problems already, when they win the lottery, money only amplifies the current problems that they already had. And that's the only thing that's going to happen with our healthcare system.
Well, I just want to say that the Supreme Court already ruled and said that the government cannot force anyone to buy anything. However, under the taxing amendment of the United States Constitution, they can tax you for not having something. How they came up with that, I don't know. But legally under the Constitution, they can't force you to buy it. So they can't make it later say, well, now we're going to throw people in jail or whatever because we're going to make it a criminal act if you don't have health insurance. They can't do that. However, they can tax
yes,
you
can.
On just about eating one.
Well, wait a minute. That's a distinction without a difference. That's nonsense. But this is Mr. Solution, and I want to weigh in on the minimum wage issue. Since we're speaking purely theoretical and academic, at least most of us anyway, if the politicians were really concerned about the – first of all, is that a topic of relevance or is that the present
It's open
topic?
Mic.
Excuse me?
It's open mic. Go ahead.
Hey,
go
well,
ahead.
Look, this is a great idea is to eliminate the if you want the minimum wage workers to have – and I believe it is a pass-through job – then, of course, they should eliminate the federal and state taxes. See, because what you're doing, you're suspending a carrot from the carriage before the horse on a stick. You have the horse running faster, but it's not getting any closer to the prize. So the way to remedy this, to really remedy it, is to eliminate the tax burden on the people who are not making a, quote-unquote, livable wage. What about that?
No, that's not a good idea at all because companies already do that. And states have already – they're in, and I think it's an it's just an atrocity because Ohio does it, and I called in and about that. California does it and other states where they actually – they actually give companies back their taxes that – state taxes anyway that's being paid and it's just it's probably
what
the
I
worst
said.
Form
you're
it's probably the worst form
I'm
of crony capitalism I've ever seen.
Okay, I don't know if anyone else wants to comment, but this gentleman is confused. He doesn't understand what I said.
You're saying give people a tax break just
I'm
because
saying
they're employing
federal and state taxes out of minimum wage earners check. That's what I'm saying.
Okay,
we
do that already
because
it's
the same thing because the company pays what comes out of their check is only half of the payroll taxes. The company pays the other half. That's already been done and tried is what I'm trying to tell you.
You're still missing the point. Look, the way what Obama did to stimulate the economy was to lower taxes on people temporarily. That's like an immediate B-12 shot in the arm. When you give people money, the American economy is primarily based 70-plus percent on spending, purchases. So if you give people the money that they earn and don't tax them, then, of course, you're giving them an immediate raise, and that's increasing their salary without a downside.
But at any rate,
that's what I'm suggesting. But I'll listen to
Mr. Solution, we already do that to a large extent with the earned income tax credit and things. Minimum wage earners do not pay income taxes. Yes, they pay their FICA taxes, but they do not pay income tax. There is nobody working 40 hours a week on minimum wage that's paying a dime of state or federal income tax. They will always get every penny back at the end of the year unless they are a dependent living in somebody else's home.
And this may not be a popular idea, but I think you have to have skin in the game, and I think that you have to pay some tax. It may not be, you know, a lot, but I think you have to contribute because, you know, if you're an American citizen and you're benefiting from roadways, public school, you know, all the things that, you know, that tax dollars support, I think that it's critical that you contribute something.
So do you think that why don't we just do everything by sales tax only so everybody pays for what they buy and what they purchase for and what they purchase?
Well, you know, I think we should try that.
I'm all for that.
We should try it. Because,
well, the taxes,
you know,
let me just say, the taxes that the lady
solutions,
she may not be aware.
Solutions! But, let her finish.
I didn't know she hadn't.
When you exempt the lower level of taxpayer, or like that gentleman said, you give them a cut in their tax rate. You compensate by that by taking more tax on the savings of, higher wage earners, and we have a problem here where we're fostering dependence because we're encouraging people to spend and not encouraging people to save. So we've got an imbalance, you know, there are many issues that need to be addressed. And I think we need to try, even for a short period of time. We have, you know, like we say, okay, we'll try for 3 years a sales-based revenue program. And then we'll evaluate it. But see, this is it. It seems like everybody wants to get locked into something, and then it's like, you know, we can't go back. Well, why can't we? You know, if something doesn't work, it should be reevaluated.
Go ahead,
How
solution.
Does a sales tax work on the federal
Hold on,
level?
Diva, hold up. Go ahead, solution.
Yeah, thank you for controlling traffic. Look, the lady is mistaken, probably well-intentioned, but mistaken. If you look, first of all, people pay, I was merely talking about federal and state taxes. That did not include sales taxes. And when she mentioned gasoline tax or road tax, and that is supposed to come out of the gasoline and diesel tax or the petrol, the fuel tax. So people still pay that. The fact of the matter is that one person mentioned the money would be given back to them at the end of the year. Now, what you may not be cognizant of, money is worth less than at the end of the year than it is at the beginning of the year. That's called inflation. And that's about roughly 10%, especially on the items that we use, like fuel and food particularly. So the thing is, it would lower their overall tax burden. It would increase their wages without putting burdens on employers. And it would, like I say, it would give them more money. It would free up more money. It would boost the economy because they would have their money when they made it. They wouldn't be waiting at the end of the year. There's no reason to delay giving them their money. So I think those are perfectly workable. And the other thing you guys need to contemplate, and that is using the tax structure for social engineering. That can be a very bad thing, and it seems to be that very bad thing that's happening. What do you think?
Well, actually, I've never thought in my life I would agree with Mr. Solutions, but I have to say, wow, he made sense to
me.
That's already going on, though. I mean, because all you have to do is go into your HR office and fill out your W-4, tell them how much withholdings you don't want taken out of your check, and so that's already going on.
Alex, it's a totally different thing.
Hold on, Diva. Go ahead, Alex. Finish your statement.
I'm just saying, you can fill out your W-4 already to do that, so that they're not taking out as much money for your check. But then it's up to you at the end of the year. Hopefully, you filled it out right, because if they didn't take out enough, then you're going to end up owing the government at the end of the year. But I mean, that's not something new. That's something that's been going. People already have the ability to do that.
Not only that, but you also have the ability to go to your HR department if you have an idea of what your EI, earned income credit, is going to be, and you can actually get a payment from the government monthly rather than getting it all one chunk at the end of the year.
It's a big difference when you just eliminate all, because not everybody knows all that. Nobody understands that. Even HR departments probably don't even understand that sometimes. What Mr. Solution said makes a lot of sense, because when we had that payroll tax holiday, people were seeing a lot more money coming into their paychecks instead of being taken out through taxes. It kills two birds with one stone. You have people paying no taxes who are not making a livable wage, and then you don't have that burden on the employers to raise the living wage, to raise the wages so that they can meet a standard of living. And I don't understand how anybody can – I don't understand how anybody other than me can see that makes sense, because normally Mr. Solutions are on complete opposites of discussion.
What's the payroll tax fund, Diva?
Say it again?
What does the payroll tax fund?
All
the payroll
kinds of
tax
things.
Fund,
That's
social
not the
security.
Point. The argument is, how do we fix the situation
security.
Where workers can receive more of their money?
But
how,
Diva,
do we fix that situation?
If you don't fund Social Security, where does the money come to write the Social Security checks that are being mailed out?
We didn't. He didn't say that they don't pay Social Security or Medicare. He said
the
federal,
the payroll tax. The payroll tax pays Social Security. It's a direct transfer.
Just raise minimum wage, because I don't think anybody's going to be able to come up with a great solution that's going to please every side. But that seemed to me like a middle of the road, common sense solution that made sense.
But where does the money come to fund the programs that are in place? If you
they
stop
won't need those programs if they have more money
Diva,
in their check.
Diva, hold on. Let him finish, and then you jump in. I'm not going
to
do it today.
No, I'm saying the payroll tax funds Social Security. So if you do not withdraw that payroll tax money from people's checks, you don't have any money to pay Social Security benefits with. So therefore, you have to borrow the money to pay the Social Security benefits.
They take out Social Security and Medicare tax on there already, okay? If they were to just strictly take out Social Security taxes on everybody, then they wouldn't be able to get away with funding the general fund. Then they wouldn't get away with what they're doing with the Social Security money. That Social Security money that are being taken out for taxes then would strictly have to go towards Social Security. Then it would be forced to revamp the system where, you know, people were faking illnesses. Can't get SSI. They would have to revamp the system.
You're not listening. The payroll tax is for Social Security. Do you understand that?
Not the entire payroll
tax.
Payroll
tax. The definition of payroll tax is FICA, not income tax.
But no one said FICA.
Yes, that is what payroll tax is. The payroll tax.
Great.
Payroll tax is FICA.
Hold on, Diva. Let's have a conversation here. Why don't we explain what FICA is? Because remember,
when the politicians say payroll tax, they are talking about the taxes that you pay for Social Security and Medicare. FICA and payroll tax are the same. When they say income tax is income tax, tax on wages. The payroll tax reduction and payroll tax holiday was a reduction in the rate of monies received by the federal government into the Social Security coffers, which is rolled into the general fund anyways.
Okay, Sticks, when a person is looking at their pay stub, they see, first of all, your federal taxes. Then they see the state taxes, or they might see Social Security and Medicare. And then they will see FICA. Then they'll see their city taxes.
There's no such thing as
an income tax on your pay stub.
You will see federal income tax withheld, FITW, federal income tax withheld. You will see FICA, which is Medicare and Social Security. That is what the politicians are calling payroll tax.
I'm sorry. On my pay stub,
is payroll tax.
It was when I did payroll, because, yes, I did payroll as an office manager, okay? Social Security and Medicare were rolled into FICA. Federal and state taxes, those were two separate taxes from FICA. What Mr. is talking about. On your pay stub, eliminate the federal tax, eliminate the state tax. He's not talking about FICA.
Now, that's right. If I just may jump in, and I want to offer a higher order argument, and that is this. First of all, there is no designated Social Security fund. That was raided back during the Vietnam War. Secondarily, or at least commensurate with that, the fact that things are monetized via fiat money. So the money is not real anyway. That is the reason inflation is so rampant. And if you listen to the Federal Reserve chairperson, they feel it's okay for there to be a 5% inflation rate. But what that does is that devastates savers. And it pushes you into the arms of the banksters and the gangsters on Wall Street because now they can steal your money willy-nilly. But the point of it is the federal government has the ability to create money via fiat. So there is no limit on their ability to create money, whereas the individual, there is a limit based upon your labor acumen. There is a limit vis-a-vis the money you're able to intake. So I think you need to realize that you're dealing with a moving target at minimum, and you're dealing with a non-standard. So I think that's very crucial when it comes to monetary policy. Do you understand what I mean when I talk about fiat money?
I think everybody on this line, except maybe
okay, well, if you do, then you shouldn't argue as if you don't. Because when you start putting the standards on people about, you know, the money that they make, you need to realize on the other side of the equation, the government is not limited by a sound money policy.
We understand that. Go ahead, Alex.
You're not teaching anybody anything new here.
No, wait a minute. I think you're broke. So I think you should cease and desist.
Okay. Dude,
I think you're personally bankrupt. I think you're just
okay.
Talking. I'm listening to you guys.
Right.
Go ahead, Alex.
See, the problem is, I don't know. This is really irritating because what people talk down to everybody else is if they actually know what they're talking about. Because what are you saying about the state and local and federal taxes? I mean, Styx is right. That already occurs. Like, people below a certain income already do not pay that. And when you first get a job, they ask you to fill out your W-4, and you can already do exactly what he's talking about, where you get all that money and it's not taken out of your check. And so it's, I don't know. That guy,
you know what, hold on, guys. Diva, hold up. This is the problem that we have. Most people have not had an education in what deductions they should take when they go and fill out their W-2s. That's one. This kind of conversation, most people don't have a clue of what we're talking about when you talk about payroll taxes. You see it, it comes out, it's like, okay, whoopee ding dong, Social Security, FICA, state tax, sales tax, you know, state, all that kind of local tax, and then you just go. And so this is not a conversation and an education that we actually get anywhere. So, yeah, we act like we know, and then we don't know where the money goes. Most people don't have a clue. At the beginning of the year, in January, everybody will go to the tax guy and they'll get a check back, maybe, or they'll owe, one of the two. But as far as having a full understanding and education about what's really going on, most people don't have that if we're really honest about it. They talk a good game, but they...
You'd be surprised. I've known a number of workers who have worked their W-4s so that they get their money back, most of their money. But the fact remains that there's a big difference in getting your money back right then when you get all your money back right then when you're getting paid than waiting for it towards the end of the tax season. Because when you have to wait, stuff has already accumulated. By the time people are getting that tax refund, most people are playing catch-up. Whereas if they are getting it right then and there, as soon as they get paid, boom, they're able to pay their bills, they're able to go shopping, and everybody knows that when people spend, it increases productivity. When demand increases, it increases productivity, and it causes more people to be hired.
Diva, you didn't hear a word I said. If you don't owe any income tax at the end of the year, you can fill out your W form so you get 100% of your paycheck. And you can also fill out a form so if you normally get earned income credit, you get a 1/12 of that in a check from the government every month.
Most people
don't
know that.
So you don't get one
good
check at the end of the year. You get it every month.
HR makes it very difficult for you to do stuff like that.
For
a regular ordinary
person
in there and try to talk to their HR representative. One, they probably don't know what you're talking about.
Diva, I'm sure that every job you've worked, you filled out a W-4. Everyone has to. And if people just read the form, If you just filled it out, then you would get all of your money back on every paycheck, and you would pay virtually no taxes. Everybody has that option, and it's a legal employment requirement that you're given that form, and I'm sure you filled it out and signed it
everybody
at the bottom. Everybody does. It is a requirement. You get a W-4 for every new job that you start, and so this is, you know. It's something that we already have the capability to do. But everybody just either doesn't read the form or, just not educated about it. I don't know.
Hold on. Local call, your mic is on. Hi, Jeff.
Are you talking to me?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Where are y'all guys going with all this today? I wanted to make a comment about taxes, but I'm trying to figure out where you're going with it.
Oh, it's open mic. Just go make a comment.
Okay. Here's what I think. I'm one of them dumb guys that votes Republican but lives like a Democrat.
Yeah.
And I think the way that should have been done for years, what needs to be done, is there is no limit on the amount of payroll tax that you right now there's an income limit. Once you hit a certain income, you don't have to pay any more Social Security payroll tax. That needs to be eliminated. And if they're, those that are more wealthy should continue to pay that tax on every bit of money they make. I think it stops somewhere around $95,000 or $100,000. I might be off on that a little bit. But I think that's one way that we could certainly make up all the deficits that Social Security fund and other programs for those that need them. Because I just don't think that, that they're the ones that can most likely afford to pay that. They're already paying that payroll tax anyway. But do you know what the limit is when it is cut off as far as the income?
I don't have a clue. I'm not there.
It's $113,000.
Okay, is that what it is, 113? See, I just think if they would just eliminate that and have people continue to pay that tax, that I bet you, I have no idea. I've never run the numbers, but I would imagine we're talking about billions and billions of more dollars.
That would be flat tax, then.
I disagree with you, because when you start getting it up into that rarefied air, people earn the majority of their income not from wages but from investments. And there is no FICA tax on investment.
Well, I'm talking strictly wages. I'm not.
Right.
Yeah, I wasn't
right.
Talking
when
about
you start talking, when you start talking over $100,000, very few people that are making that kind of money are making it on wages. They're making it on investments.
Well,
you're
right. It's a small percentage, but there's enough of them. I'm sure there's at least a few million in the country. I just don't think that needs to be stopped. That's all.
Straight flat tax keeps it all the time.
I mean,
you don't have any cutoff.
I would be more willing to say a 3 or 4% flat tax on everybody, regardless of income, would probably fix most of the deficit problems.
Why is everybody against the flat tax?
Because they can't cheat the system.
I think they're scared.
Because
a person who
makes $1 million paying 3%, their pocket book is going to look completely different compared to somebody who's making $20,000, $60,000 paying 3%.
Hey, Eva, you're a religious person, right?
Yes. No, I'm a
What's the Bible
person.
Say about deferring a rich man over a poor man?
Oh, my God. Here you go.
Really? What do you mean, well, here you go? He brought up a legitimate point you believe. Now, either you believe it or just shut up, because that's where you're at with this.
And here you go.
People that are two-faced that always want
to
say,
I'm a Christian.
And then when you bring scripture up to them,
Religion and politics.
Are you talking?
One side, but don't know how to divide it on the other side. That's what
I'm sick of. Are you talking?
Yes, I am.
Then wait a minute. Let me finish. I'm sick of these two-faced people, these hypocrites, coming on talking about they're Christians, and then at the same time, when you bring the word up to them, that's not what the word means. Oh, here you go. No, that's a bunch of BS. Stop it. Just stop it. If you're a believer, you believe what the word says. If you don't believe it, try to figure out some kind of way to fit Jesus into your liberal theology of supporting homosexuality.
No, just because I don't believe it the way you want me to believe it means nothing.
Eva.
It's open. No. You interpret it to mean a certain way doesn't mean I have to go along with your philosophy, your theology. That's all it is.
Guys.
Yeah, okay, whatever.
What the word says.
Whatever.
Okay. Just coming, just starting a ruckus.
No, I'm just saying.
Where have you been?
We had you on suicide.
No, you don't suicide watch it. I did suicide last night.
Hey, Tracy.
Yeah.
I want to know when I get a nickname. So how many times do I have to call before I get my own nickname?
What nickname do you want?
Country boy.
Country boy it is.
Okay.
Not a problem. How you doing, country?
I'm doing all right. I don't understand what the one lady's so upset about, but I'll say one thing about Christians. True Christians don't tell you they're Christians. They live it, okay?
I believe
that's
that,
what
too.
I don't like it when they throw it in your face because that other caller's correct. The ones that typically throw it in your face are the ones that are self-righteous.
Well, that's not always true because you're as a Christian, you're there to warn people and to let people know
right. What
you're doing and et cetera. There's a whole call that comes with being a Christian. It's not just about you saving yourself and getting the heck out the way for everybody else.
But let me ask you this.
Yeah.
Do I have to tell you that I am?
I got
Christian?
Your back
you
on that, Joe.
Do anything.
My question is, there's a whole bunch of folks talking about him ain't going there. I got to take a break. I'll be
this
right
is
back.
True.
We'll see you on the other side of my break.
This is John McCaslin and Dana Mills. Catch us on America's Morning News.
Hey, Diva.
Yes.
If you're one of those people that get those big rich income tax checks at the end of the year when you want your money early, then put down put down a 3 or a 4 on your on
so
your
you
got to
put down
form.
A 10. You got to put down 10. You got to put down a 10 to get all your money back. But that's illegal. 10 exemptions to get all your money back. I know a couple people who've done it, but I'm like, that's illegal.
Yep. No, it's not. If you don't have
that many exemptions living in your household, that's illegal.
There's a section for dependents. There's a section for like child expenses, and then there's a separate section where you can add for. You can add it for whatever else that you want, you know, and
right.
You can.
Yeah, you're allowed to zero out. You're allowed to zero out every year. So
yeah, because
you put down whatever it would take to zero
criteria,
out.
I think the only way you're allowed to zero out is if you are exempted. And the only way you're exempted is if you are dependent of someone else.
No, that's your money.
No, yeah, because here's the thing. I know plenty of people, and a lot of people who what the hell?
That's not me.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Did y'all hear that?
Yeah.
That's my radio.
But a lot of people, they figure they want to keep their money, and they'll pay the government at the end of the year. A lot of people do that, and they just... You know, and I'm all for that. Like I've always, well, not always, but since I was probably about 25.
And that's what Mr. Foods was saying. When you get to doing that, you more than likely end up having to pay something at the end of the year. So people take all their money throughout the year, then have to pay some at the end of the year, or people pay throughout the end of the year, and then they have to, then they get something at the end of the year. How about just giving people, eliminating all of that, and just giving people all their money throughout the year, without them having to jump through hoops.
Well, what I'm saying is, like, the way I do it so that mine is calculated out perfectly. Like, we're at the end of the year when I file, it might be like, you know, I get like maybe like something like $13 or something like that. But that's how close I calculate mine when I do my taxes throughout the year. And then I know other people who, you know, they only pay. Basically, that's what I do. I only pay exactly what I'm supposed to pay and not a dime more, because if I'm paying the more and I get it back at the end of the year, then, you know, there's other things I could have did with that money. I might have been, you know, I could have bought some, you know, Facebook stock back in July or something, you know.
I get what you're saying. People do that. I know people who do that all the time. I mean, I claim. I think you're allowed to claim a certain amount, because I do typically claim 3. And it's just 3 or 4, and it's just me and my daughter. But
and
when
I did
you
the same thing,
to,
Diva.
When you claim about
I
10, just only one person, one or two, I think you do run the risk of getting into trouble.
I don't think you have to do 10. Yeah, but I did the same thing, Diva. I had my
income budget out so well that I was able to, I didn't zero out. I was like, Alex, I would get, I left it where I was getting maybe 100, 200 back a year. But I didn't want them to hold that money because I had my weekly budget out so well that I took the extra money and I placed it elsewhere. I invested, and so I took that money and placed, and what happens is I got more return on that money than I would get if I waited till the end of the year.
Alex, have you ever thought about doing, like, some type of consultation on this type of stuff for people? Like some type of non-profit organization where you can educate people on stuff like this?
Well, I mean, I already work with non-profits here in Central Florida for that type of stuff, educating youth, different youth groups and young adult parents and teenage parents and things like that. And so I mean, I volunteer my time already for things like that. But
okay.
I haven't now. I never thought about actually creating a group or a nonprofit. I have.
I think you should. You should create your own. I think that's something you'd be wonderful about. I mean, you and I are probably don't agree on much, but I do feel like I could trust you on a lot of things, and I think that if I can trust you on a lot of things, especially when it comes to monetary policy, I think a lot of other people who don't agree with you politically but will be willing to listen and be open-minded to hear what you got to say and the education that you can bring.
Yeah. I mean, I would right now. I'm focused more on some business developments. So
we're back. Tracy Simpson, WFM AM
637
minutes after the hour, 2 o'clock, and Jeff and Jeff. There's been a death sighting. Hey.
Hey.
I mean,
all I can see is white lines.
I don't know. Yeah, because it's brown. You're still a brown fan, and they're blurred.
We did. I wore this in honor of Alabama. Because we're both losers! Cleveland found, a quarterback played on the other team. He just didn't have the right uniform on. Because he threw the ball away twice and then fumbled it over once. Which resulted in points that they should have never had because our defense could stop these guys. So it was over. I mean, I'm browned out for the year.
You're gonna wait till next year.
I gotta wait till next year because I can't take it no more.
But you are proud
of our loss too. So I was so happy.
But Pittsburgh can, we can lose.
No, you can't. No,
yes, we can.
No, because if we win next week, y'all hit. Y'all back in the bottom.
But the problem is, it's okay because we'll always come back. You guys never come back.
Yeah, we come back.
When do you come back? You guys never resurrect from the dead.
1 week at a time, Tracy. 1 week.
Y'all never resurrect from the dead.
Yeah, they come back next year. That's when.
No, they come. Okay, thanks, country, because, y'all don't come back.
One week at a time.
Yeah,
we win one game and we're celebrating.
I don't know why the Browns and Ohio State don't switch teams.
No, Ohio State is too powerful to beat the Browns.
No, they're not. I mean, actually, they had to come. Just switch them for a little while and let them put on their uniforms, go up to the lake and play for a little while and get you guys up in the standings and then go back down to Columbus.
Well, I don't know if that'll work because they only won by 1 point.
That's right. I'm just happy they won because I was selling Wolf tickets.
Now, who was that, Michigan or Michigan State we played?
U of M.
Okay,
Ann Arbor.
University of Ann Arbor. Okay.
Ann Arbor.
So now
the Wolverines. I think next week is Michigan State. Hey, Carl, we're back up. The number, yes, Diva?
This week is Michigan State, Saturday, 8:17 p.m.
8:17, they play at night. Where are they going to play at, Columbus or in Michigan?
They're playing this Saturday, and they're not playing in Ohio, and they're not playing in Michigan. They're playing somewhere else.
Indianapolis.
There you go.
Why are they playing
it
in Indianapolis?
Starts at 8:17 p.m. on Fox.
The road between here and
there. Have they started the bowl games yet?
Well, they're a neutral site because they're each one half of the conference. That's why.
Oh.
Yeah.
Why does the BCS, why are they always crazy like that? Why can't they do like everybody else, home and away?
I wish to just get to the playoff on that. I've had enough of this BCS. BS, if you ask me. I got a different word for that.
No. Just call it what it is. Don't help us out.
I think you can read between the lines.
We'll read between the lines. Where are you from?
Columbiana.
Well, welcome to Tracy and Friends here in Mahoning County, Columbiana.
Mm-hmm. You got it. Guys, have a good day.
You too.
I'll get a hold of you tomorrow.
I'll be here. Hey, Jeff, what are you going to talk about tomorrow when you come in?
Everything.
What?
I got stuff stored up.
I think you need to talk about this.
What's going on?
What are you talking about?
Gentleman's quarterly names, President Obama.
Why is your mic off?
I don't know why my mic is off.
Turn your mic on.
Turn the switch on.
I didn't turn it off.
Okay,
is it on now?
It's on now.
GQ names President Obama one of the 25 least influential people of 2013. Right up there with Miley Cyrus and Justin Bieber.
Are you serious? Local call, your mic is on.
Hi, it's me again. I had to bow out for a little bit. But you know what was very interesting?
What's that?
All that discussion about the tax, the payroll tax and the employer tax and... Can you imagine the IRS overseeing our medical program?
They already are.
But I'm saying, when we are so overwhelmed with just income tax and you know, federal tax, Medicare tax, and we have this much of a discussion about, you know, what do those things mean, and what is it, you know, what does it mean to fill out a W-4, and what does it mean to receive a W-2? But I was going to say, this is going to go to a whole new level when IRS starts enacting this health care. I mean, it's going to be crazy.
You ever hear that song say, baby, you ain't seen nothing yet?
Well, just wait. January 15th is when the death panels start.
Hey, Sticks, they said that, well, we got the site up and running. And then they say, then they come back. And
it's not fully functional.
This is a bunch of hooey balooey, and it's not up and running yet. I'll talk about that first tomorrow, okay?
Because this is going to be, I mean, Diva was talking earlier about people not getting their money back all at one chunk. Well, that's how all of the stipends in the healthcare law work is at the end of the year is when you get your money. So you got to pay the full premium all year.
And they're going to raise revenue with penalties.
Absolutely, and they can and they can go as far as to take your property for those that own it, that is.
Well, I was going to say, can you imagine, you know, how horrifying it is when somebody has to face an audit from the IRS for their tax return? Just think if they feel that you did something wrong in requesting medical care, that you somehow, you know, manipulated the system and you got... reimbursed. You got reimbursed, and your doctor got reimbursed, and you kept the money or something.
Well,
it'll be a horrible thing.
831, your mic is on.
Oh, hey Tracy, this is Redneck down here in Columbiana County.
How you doing?
Pretty good.
Country boy and redneck. My goodness.
Now, this is different. This is not country boy. This is redneck.
I said country boy and redneck.
It all in one time.
I mean, that's something. Columbiana's full.
My brothers. They're all my brothers.
The hood.
They're all my brothers, too, so don't feel bad.
The Columbiana hood brothers.
How you doing today?
Pretty good. On the taxes, why we don't get tax reform, probably the best thing. Novel In the Country of the Blind by Michael Flynn. Everybody will love it, especially Jeff. There's a character who works for the government, says something. He goes, what? You think the U.S. government isn't interested in influencing the future, or do you just think the income tax is about raising revenue?
Yeah, there you go. That's a good one.
And the name of the book is what?
Country of the Blind.
Uh-huh.
It's a novel. It's pretty good.
You know, it is so remarkably stark to me how ignorant people really are of what is going on around them. And they're arguing for things that they have no idea what they're arguing for. They're supporting things that are working to destroy them easily. And they think that it's sliced bread and sugar, and they're going with their tongues hanging. And this is remarkable. We didn't used to be a nation this stupid. We knew what the Constitution meant. We knew what taxes meant. Do you know, anybody else out there know that with this last round of EPA regulations that did not have to get voted on or anything, that we now have no lead smelter in the United States of America?
Yeah, we were talking about that earlier. We got a military, and now we can't make our own bullets.
You can't make your own bullets. Now,
and you heard that?
Of your
no,
president.
Yeah.
That's compliments of your president. I guess that's why they bought up all the hollow points that they can't use in a war. They can only use the hollow points against people in the United States. I guess they decide, well, we're not going to go away to war. We're going to have a war on our own people. And that's why Christians and Catholics are coming into play here. See, ignorant. This is just ignorant. But I'll start out with that tomorrow. I'll be very nice doing it, too. Hi.
As long as it ain't about pyramids, it'll go pretty good.
Oh, I got that, too.
No.
I got that, too. Oh. I'm not going to talk on your show, Tracy. I will get my own show and talk about pyramids.
And shadow people.
And shadow people at times.
Absolutely.
I met somebody that had a shadow person in their house.
Me too.
They were afraid of it. No, I'm very serious. I did.
Me too.
I told you have to bind and rebuke it in the name of Jesus and tell it to go. But that's here.
Hey, Jeff, I thought somebody was pulling my leg. They were talking about a
Chupacabra, goat sucker. It's called Spanish.
Uh-huh.
Goat sucker. They drink the blood of animals. They don't eat the meat. They drink the blood only.
That's the problem.
Mm-hmm. Chupacabra, and you can't
That's
catch.
That's the problem.
You can see them, but you can't catch them.
That's a problem.
See, huge problem.
That's a problem.
Well,
I said it out loud.
Well, you never heard of that?
Nope.
How you not hear of a chupacabra?
I'm smarter than a fifth grader.
No, you don't even go through your stuff on Facebook then.
No, I don't.
Okay.
Because y'all crazy.
No, that's not crazy. That's
hey,
that's legitimate.
Maybe Tracy is one of those good people who can sleep at night.
I do.
And there's the rest of us who stay up and we listen to these programs.
Nope. Ah. Oh, I used to be an Art Bell fan, boy.
I sleep well at night. I put my head on my pillow and I go to sleep.
God bless you.
Do you realize I didn't even watch Twilight Zone?
I hit the bed so hard. I don't care.
No.
Here's the thing. I'm not scared of that stuff, nothing like that. What has that got to do with me?
I know, but there's so many people having trouble sleeping because they're trying to sort out all this stuff that they hear.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and at night when you lay down, that's when all these thoughts come racing through your head, and you think, "Wow, you know, turn it off." And
no.
many it's hard.
Yeah, sometimes it is. Tell them to get on my Facebook and ask me the question. I'll hook them up.
Yeah, go on just Facebook and hook you up. I'm not trying to go there. Ain't trying to hook a brother up.
You're scared of it, Tracy. You cannot mess around in it. It's all around you.
Too bad.
No, I'm just saying.
I'm just like that. A chupacabra, you can see him.
Chupacabra.
Chupacabra, you can see him, but you can't catch him. There it is.
That's an episode of The X-Files.
All the leftist arguments tomorrow I'm going to deal with in the first half hour.
Listen, Obama spent $600 million on rail projects that benefit private companies.
He's also, what's he doing with printing money, $85 billion a month?
He spent $500 million on Solyndra.
Again?
No, just once.
Oh, okay.
We just lost another one last week.
They spent $9 billion on General Motors.
And
the Treasury just wrote it off as a bad debt, $9 billion.
I wonder, did they use mark-to-market on that?
Yeah.
You know what?
I wonder, did they use the mark-to-market?
Check this out. A restaurant in Seattle just ejected a customer for wearing Google glasses.
Why? Maybe he's...
Thud.
Thud.
Sorry. Thud. Thud. Oh, sorry. I didn't see Thud. I can see where that would mess you up. Being on
Why?
Google Glasses in a restaurant.
I wonder why.
If you wear your Google glasses inside or film or photograph people without their
Okay, because you can film with it. Yeah, they might not want their menus copied, which doesn't make a sense. You can walk out the doggone...
Fold them up and put them in your pocket like everybody else.
Right, or take a picture of them while you're sitting at the table.
Like you're paying attention.
Hey, I have a question for all the enlightened folks. You know when General Motors was declared bankrupt and the stock became worthless, and then they came back and they issued new stock and they had no obligation to go back and give anything to those former stockholders?
Right, and the bondholders.
Right. Has there ever been a case of that happening before? I don't ever remember anything like that.
It's my understanding now.
No, because you had a redistribution of wealth.
Yeah.
And it didn't leave the wealthy people's hand, because the wealthy people are wealthier than everybody. It left the middle class hands. But they're telling you, we're taking from the rich and giving to the poor because I'm Robin Hood.
Well, you know, it should put everybody on alert that has stocks, has a pension or an IRA or anything like that. Because who's to say, you know, they got away with this once. Who's to say that, you know, it won't become a common practice?
Yeah, they wiped out 200 years of contract law.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Well, I thought I had never heard of, you know, anything like that before.
Now, the stock thing was done disingenuously, but it really wasn't illegal. The stock, when a company goes bankrupt, mm-hmm. their stock goes to zero and it's worthless. And then when the new company is formed, new stock is issued. So if you're a stockholder traditionally and the company goes bankrupt, you do lose your money. But the bondholders, because that's a debt instrument, the bondholders always get paid first.
Except this time.
Yep.
And the unions got paid first this time.
Right.
And the retirees took it in the shorts.
Right.
Don't you think that we should be very cautious before we invest?
Hmm.
I mean, you think you're any kind of bond, any kind
buy
of
a gift
certificate.
Tracy and forget my girl's name.
Diane.
Mm-hmm. GM's going down again, and everybody's, Jeff, you're crazy. Absolutely. They have not changed their business model. It's going to do the same thing over again. It's going to do it quicker.
Yeah, but didn't they throw all their retirees into the PBGC system?
Yes.
They did.
So because, see, that was one of GM's problems, I understand, is before they ever bought a pound of steel for an axle,
mm-hmm.
they had $1,500 per vehicle in legacy costs.
Exactly.
And with this bankruptcy, that wiped those legacy costs out.
Absolutely. But they did.
You
but they started. Go ahead.
Go ahead, Alex.
I was just going to say that from what I read, they were selling Chevy Volts for $50,000 or so, but it was costing them $80,000 to make. And so,
really?
You know, yeah, I predict that, well, I know I'm, you know, especially with my family, it may be blasphemy to say, but I'm never buying a GM car. And within 10 years, I think, I would say 7 to 10 years, they're going to be bankrupt again. And
absolutely.
After what I heard this weekend, I think Ford will own General Motors. I think that's how it's going to wash out.
Hey, Leon.
What did you hear?
Ford and General Motors are doing some very serious engineering work together. And since Ford is a stronger company economically than General Motors, I would say there will be a merger, and Ford will own General Motors. It's going to be my guess.
Within
10 years.
Larry, your mic's up.
Hey, Tracy, did I hear Jeff say he was giving up on the season, the Browns already? Did I hear that right?
Yeah, that's what you
heard. Leave me alone, Larry.
That's what you heard.
You just want to get blocked on Facebook. I can see that right now. I don't owe you 6 months like I owe Diva.
I didn't say anything other than I just wanted to make sure I heard it right, because I was driving, and when I heard it, I had to stop the car and pull over and call, because I thought I heard that.
I'm done, man. Hoyer's not coming back. And I don't know if they're going to bring the other quarterback. I can't remember his name now. We've had so many.
Yeah, Campbell, I think.
Yeah, the Campbell's not coming back. You know what I feel
like? I tell you, Jeff.
just go ahead and turn in all your Browns gear and root for the Steelers. Your Sundays will be better.
Listen, Doc. There's no way you get me to get too close to a Steeler uniform, much less wear one. Are you crazy?
I want your Sundays to be good. Jeff, go into church. You can go to church Sunday morning and then feel comfortable when you get out of church.
No,
Jeff, that's not like
no
a can do.
I can't go for that. Can't go for that.
But now I know why you hate on the Steelers fans so much. Y'all give up. We don't give up. We know we suck and we not that good this year.
We don't have another quarterback, Diva. Diva, we got one quarterback.
Listen, y'all love the quarterback.
Okay.
Y'all hate the quarterback.
No, that ain't
I thought so too, Tracy. I could have sworn that they was in love with that quarterback.
Not me.
Not Wheaton. They've been in love with Hoyer. Hoyer's a good quarterback.
Hoyer is the quarterback that's the bomb, not Wheaton. Wheaton is terrible.
We got a couple backup quarterbacks. We'll give you both of them if you give us Josh Gibson. Isn't that the wide receiver that you got?
Larry, you remember, you know you're talking about the Browns, right? When you talk about the Browns, you can actually give them all the quarterbacks in history, the best one,
no,
and they still won't make a difference.
That's not true because we whipped y'all behind last year.
Just because you win a game does not make you go through a division.
It makes a big difference when you start in the form.
I find that very funny that you had to go to last year. You couldn't talk about this year.
No,
we don't want to talk about that.
No. Oh, you mean this year when we were ahead of Pittsburgh for 4 weeks?
No, you said we whooped our behind here, but y'all sure didn't whoop our behinds this year.
216,
your mic is on. Head to head.
216, your mic is on.
Thanks. I love you, Jeff. Let me tell you, hold strong, all right? Don't let these haters get to you. It's going to be all the sweeter when we win it all the sweeter. And the Steeler fans, the Squealer fans turn so fast. They are the most fair weather I've ever seen in my life. Browns are strong. We're proud. We stick with it. It will happen. It will be sweet. But I will say, Diva, I'm very impressed with your football knowledge. I've been listening to the show all day today, and you really know what you're talking about besides the Steeler stuff. But
she's
Jeff holds strong.
Don't give her that.
That's a fair weather Steelers fan. I mean, Browns fan right here. I mean, in the beginning, y'all in the basement. The Steelers suck. Blah, 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 blah. Browns are diehard fans. Now he's giving up. Fair weather friend, my friend.
He's
only one gear ahead of us,
Diva.
But he's still wearing his Browns gear every day.
My gear is on right now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still ready to get it on in a couple more weeks.
I'll see all of you guys on
you
tomorrow.
You have to, every time you put it on, too. Every time you put it on, you got to
shift. AM 600, the number again is 347-945-5229. Hey, Jeff, good seeing you. Thanks for everything. God bless you guys, and have a good day.
So exciting. Charlie's Table Barbecue Sauce is at the grocery store. That's right. You can get Charlie's Table Barbecue Sauce right at the store. That means you can put back the pickles. If you can't taste the meat, what's the point? Pick up the smooth and delicate Charlie's Table Barbecue Sauce. Next time you find yourself down at the market, remember, Charlie's Table Barbecue Sauce, the full cup of love.
Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce is now available at the grocery stores. Ask your grocer for a cup of love.
If you can't taste the meat, then what?
330-788. You've been listening to Afternoons with Tracy and Friends. Listen to Tracy every weekday from noon to 3 on Newstalk 600. Visit our website for more about Tracy and Friends at www.tracyandfriends.com. That's T-R-A-C-E-Y and friends.com. Tune in tomorrow at noon for the next edition of Afternoons with Tracy and Friends on Newstalk 600 WSOM.
WSOM, Salem, Youngstown, Warren.